This is HPR episode 2497 entitled HPR 2017 New Year's Eve Show Part 1. It is hosted by various hosts and is about 220 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Part 1 of the 6th Annual HPR New Year Show.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Okay, let's see what we have here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 6. So we have a 15 second delay between the live stream and the Locast live stream, which is pretty good actually. We're looking at about 19 minutes left. That's 19 minutes. So I've just put a link up on the website to see how we can capture the stream. So I'm going to capture that over on that remote server. And I'm also going to see if I can capture it here locally. Just one second.
Sounds good.
So I need to talk some because otherwise there will be nothing written to the stream when I do that. So if you want to talk, that would be absolutely awesome. I'm sick of listening to myself.
Sure. Can I play music? Does that work?
Yeah, so long as it's Creative Commons and you're legally licensed to do so, no problem.
Okay, so I can just make up stuff and that works?
Well, actually, I've recorded what I need to, so hold on one second.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go get some water and...
Okay, that's fine.
I'll be right back here.
Yeah, that's fine. Bye.
All right. Mute yourself.
Okay, I've got a remote save going on over there. Okay, we're good.
Hello. Casper doesn't know I'm here. This is Gerald. I'm just doing some checks. Make sure the tape is recording. Okay. All right, what we got here? That looks about right. Okay.
Gerald, get away from that.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Sit over there in the corner.
Gosh. Are you there, Ken? Guess not.
Too much out.
Casper just wants to wish everybody happy holidays. From the Alien Brothers podcast on Pack of Public Radio. Oh yeah. If you're not listening to Hack of Public Radio, we don't know where you should go instead. You might be better off dead. If you're not listening to the Hacker Public Radio. Where did all the hackers go? That's what I want to know. Me and Ken are sitting around here waiting for some hackers to join us on this live stream, broadcast now. Casper just wants to wish everybody happy holidays from Alien Brothers on Hacker Public Radio. live stream New Year's. A peaceful New Year's. And where are the hackers? We need them to save us from the interwebs and Ashy Pie. Ashy Pie can take one to his face. Oh yeah. All I want for the next year is not another war in Iran. We understand Halliburton's gotta build their pipeline and Iran's in the way. It's so great when the CIA is funding the ISIS militants around the world and causing so much destruction. We don't like it. We're watching from outer space and we don't like it. The human race needs to learn from their mistakes. Their mistakes. Their mistakes. Their mistakes. Their mistakes.
Namaste. Gerald, stay in the corner.
1 minute.
Oh, right. Nope. Well, it looks like it'll just be you and me, Ken. Take it off.
Yeah, no problem.
No problem. I would say excellent. Get to meet the mastermind.
Could you just hold on 1 second, please?
Yes.
Hunky Magoo and basically everybody else. Joining me on the stream live is Casper. Hi, Casper. He's gone quiet now.
Hello.
Casper's so, here now. Just you and me.
Yep, just you and me. Just hanging out. Waiting for the rest of the hackers. Where are all the hackers? They're supposed to be up late.
Yeah, up late is a relative thing.
Or right. Up early.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So we've got the stream live, and you can talk to us on TeamSpeak. So I just popped it into the IRC now, and I'll just do some publication around the Facebooks. And the Twitters, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah, if you could also share in the chat so that we could get this out to other galaxies around the world.
So, dude, we were mentioning earlier this is my thing. Actually, no, this is not my thing. HPR is not my thing. It was started. The original idea behind HPR came about on BinRev, actually it was before BinRev, Radio Freak America, way back in the day before podcasting was a thing. And they were dudes who were doing phone freaking at the time. And at the last one of their episodes, they mentioned Hacker Public Radio and as a concept. Then BinRev started as a project, and TwatTech started as a project, and Infonomicom started today with a techie. And then 2 years into that, the 300 episodes to be precise, we switched from Today with a Techie to Hacker Public Radio with BinRev. And nice. There's been several admins and volunteers down through the years. I just happen to be myself and Dave tend to do the day-to-day stuff at the minute, but no doubt we will move on and somebody else will take the thingy,
take the reins.
Yeah, And this show, the New Year show, I think was originally an idea by Pokey, who is famous for the New Year or for the book club. And it's now been going for 6 years. And that's pretty much it. So you tell us about the Alien Brothers.
The Alien Brothers was a thought experiment on a beach vacation. And Rutiger, who is not with me at this time, he had the idea to do a quote-unquote podcast. I had not done anything of the sort before, but I was open to that. So our first introductory episode was completely improvised. Everything was on the spot. We didn't even know what we were going to do or talk about, and it's why there was no topic or anything. And due to, well, I guess Rutiger was a little reluctant to do any more, and I pointed him to Klaatu's Praise, and from that I was able to pull his arm a little bit and try and get him involved, so, which I'm still trying to do.
Yep, cool. Keep on coming. So where are you? Are you allowed to tell us where you are physically? Your earthly presence?
Yes,
what time zone? How about that? Have you touched down in?
At this time, we've taken earthly form around the DC metropolitan area, the belly of the beast, as it's called here on Earth. And Rutiger's a little bit to the south, Casper's a little bit to the north, but that's just where we chose to tap in and beam our earthly presence. Because we're on many different time zones and dimensions and planes of existence. It gets really confusing.
Tell me about it. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Whew. We're going forwards, backwards in time. We're trying to, we killed Hitler. And then we're like, okay. And it's this whole thing. It's like the butterfly effect. And
his granddad comes to life. Yeah.
And then there's the baby Hitler. And then they went to New Schwabenland, and we're trying to follow him there. And then we went through the journey to the center of the Earth, and then we came out the other side, and shouldn't have given him the technology we gave him. And it's a whole thing.
And people say, why didn't you go back and kill Hitler? And then you go, but I went back and killed Murphy. Come on, what more do you want? Who's Murphy exactly?
Yeah, there's the war is a profitable thing. So
what is your plan for today, pray?
Me?
Yeah, are you going to be on for the 26 hours, or are you just going to not do that thing?
I'll be here for a bit. My sleep schedule, even aliens need to sleep. So if you did the calculations for earthly presence that we're beaming, it's about 5 a.m. And one of my many earthly presences were laid off November 28th, quite unexpectedly.
That sucks.
Yeah, but it doesn't. We did not discuss that on any of the podcasts, so everybody's hearing it live for the first time here. Sometimes you get blessings in disguise. So I've been working somewhere, and it was not a good environment.
Yeah.
And now I am out.
Yeah, that's
and on to better things. The month of December was rough, and I'm still, my sleep schedule's still suffering as a consequence, because adrenaline on top of adrenaline on top of adrenaline, wondering if I'd need to sell my house. So when I wasn't interviewing, talking to recruiters, doing things on the, on the weekdays, on the weekends, I would be cleaning my house, attempting to get it, showroom ready, so to speak.
House structure on the thing.
It was a rough month, but I'm glad to say at the end of December, I had three offers, and I was able to pick the one that I wanted to take.
That is great news. Congratulations. Yes. Congratulations.
Actually, what are you in?
IT.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ahoy, me hearties.
Greetings, gar bigara.
Arr!
Avast!
We got the 322s. Skull and Bones, the original pirates. Yeah.
Apparently most, I heard about the pirate thing, why people talk like that, and the first pirate in a talkie movie spoke like that, so that's how all pirates spoke after that.
Ah.
Yeah.
Because they're probably mostly of the Nordic.
They were from some part of England, I forget what.
Mostly Norfolk London.
Or something like that. Oh, London?
Yeah. It was, they were pirateers. There were, quite a lot of them were sponsored by the English government to go out and wreak havoc on foreign trade and stuff.
They're the first empire, or one of the first, or, yeah, relatively speaking, on your planet. I'm
sure the Incas, yes.
I mean, we can go back to,
Yeah, we can go back.
I mean, the Mesopotamian Empire, you know, like, and then you got, like, Alex the Great, and a whole fuck ton of Chinese empires going back a few K years, a few kilo years.
I guess to put it into some sort of time frame, when the firearms were coming about, the British were on top of that.
The British are relative newcomers even then.
Yeah, that's true. I believe that was a Chinese invention.
Quite so.
Yeah. We shouldn't have given them that either. All these inventions, all these technologies, I don't know. It's all this looks like a dystopia on your planet. I don't know. It weighs heavily on Casper and Rudiger, but we do what we can. So, Ken, were you able to get the Facebooks and the live tweets and the streams and all the good stuff to send out to all the good hackers doing their part? I guess Ken is actively doing that right now, and he's probably just listening to us.
I like bacon.
Who doesn't?
Vegans.
Bacon is the gateway meat.
Apparently vegans don't like bacon.
Back in 1 second.
Soaking it up. So, pirate, where are you pirating from?
Seattle, Washington, United States of America.
Ah, yes. Are you stationed at a naval base?
No, I am not.
Are you at a hotel near a naval base?
No, I am not.
Are you at a coffee shop?
I am in my little tiny apartment.
And what do you do for that paper stuff?
I print it.
Ah, good. So you're part of the Fed?
Not as such, no.
So you have one of those really, really high class, I thought they only had those in South America, those printing machines.
No, this one, it's just just a couple of pieces of plate steel with a little bit of hammering onto them.
Oh, I think there needs to be an episode regarding that.
Alright, I'm digging a hole here and I don't know how to get out.
It's okay. We kid. But we do. Yeah. So, yeah, printing. I happened to go to an electronics store and I saw that the 3D printers have arrived. They're not quite at the CD burner level of price ability, but they are there in stores. So that was encouraging. They had a whole bunch of plastic to be melted. He turned into other forms of plastic to be used for whatever purposes anyone deems necessary.
What type of store was that, like a micro center?
Ding, 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 exactly.
Hi, guys, I'm back. Can you hear me?
No, we can't.
Excellent, good news.
I think micro center is one of those rare stores that they'll have anything from like a Raspberry Pi to a 3D printer to just like regular basic computer stuff.
Yes, and they've got all the nuts and bolts and screws and thumb screws and just, it's a, you're in IT, you know where to go. And that is the place.
There's a place over in Redmond. It's the local place, one store only place that I need to go to. I mean, according to their website, they've got everything from supercomputer bits to vacuum tubes and switches and everything else.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I support any local stores. There's a music store nearby where I live at this time in my earthly form, and I go there. So, for instance, the audio device that I'm recording on, I could have ordered it off of Amazon. However, I didn't want to do that because they have actual workers and they have employees there, and I'd like to support local businesses. So I, you know, so they were selling it for like $170 on Amazon. It was like $130. I was like, yeah, let's call $150. Is that cool? So, but soon it'll just be us versus Jeff Bezos / the man.
Well, for me, if I buy Amazon, I'm buying local.
No.
I mean, I was fondling Amazon's giant balls the other day.
Well, there isn't much I could do with them.
So,
there goes our family safe rating. Not that
way. The first 17 minutes in?
As so, if there was.
Well, get rid of it early, that's what I say.
Thanks, handsome pirate.
I'm dead serious. Over there by Amazon headquarters down in South Lake Union, there is a set of very large glass balls.
Okay, showing his we've got power. Our pin rating for another one.
Alright.
What about the Goldman Sachs bull? Gotta get those. Or we could all just settle in and watch a nice Steven Spielberg movie.
You could also start filling in the show notes, which will be available on, there's a link on the website on the Etherpad thing. So if you have any links or anything in your discussion, can you pop it in there? Because it's the biggest pain in the ass in the world to listen to 26 hours of a show and trying to get links from people who are semi-drunk. Not saying that anyone here is semi-drunk, but it's early yet.
Where's this Etherpad?
Go to hackerpublicradio.org and look at the thing that says keep notes here.
Okay. Keep notes here. I'd like to share links. Click. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amazon's giant glass balls. Thank you very much for that. We now have a link to that. And over on the right-hand side, you can change your color and put in your name so we know who has been editing what. Alrighty. Cool. Thanks. Keep up the good work. I'm now going to tidy my room.
Oh, is this okay? It already has the time zones put in.
Yeah, don't worry too much about that. Just kind of mosey on. And okay. Here is another link. Timeanddate.com is multi countdown timer, which I'll pop into the Mumble chat. And that's also the second link, and you can see where you are on the whole time thing.
Is the live.linux lugcast 8000 lugcast live? Is that what we would post to the tweets and the faces? And
well, that's the stream.
That's the stream, and I'm currently making up a blurb that'll go with it. And I'll send you those, and then you can re-thingy them. All right, continue talking. Don't mind me. Oh, and by the way, this show is released under a Creative Commons license and is marked as not safe for work.
Explicit.
Or inappropriate for. Explicit, thank you. Yeah, although some people don't like the word explicit because explicit means you've gone into full detail, which is what we have done.
Parental advisory.
That works,
but it's
nope,
also
because as a parent, there are various different types of advice that you give to your kids. So basically,
rated M for mature.
Rated. Do your job. Listen to it. Don't put it on for people who you don't think should be listening to it.
Bacon is Maximus.
Rated H for hackers. Rated D for drunk.
Hey.
All right, I'm going to carry on. Keep talking. Bye.
All right, now we're going to carry on here. So yeah, we're talking about Micro Center.
I might have put away a fifth of rum here in a couple of hours Ooh. Leading up to this.
Ooh, going deep.
Well, there's a reason why I'm called pirate.
Well, yeah, but even pirates need to put up the sails and plot courses, right? No? Or are you just the drunken pirate at in the bottom of the boat that everybody's defecating on?
No, I make the boat go.
You make the boat go. How is that so?
As it happens, I actually also work on a boat. Like, as in...
This would be the steamboat, huh?
Yes.
Is it a yellow submarine?
That is so awesome.
No, it's a steamship, the SS Virginia 5. It's a 95-year-old passenger ferry, and it's powered with a triple expansion steam engine.
Very, very cool. Is that a volunteer work, or is it your actual job? Because if it's your actual job, I'm going to slap you about the face.
It's currently volunteer work, although, yeah, it's volunteer work.
Does that make it any better, or I think that might make it worse.
What do you mean, make it worse?
I don't know. If it's a job or if it's a volunteer.
Dude, if you get paid for it to do what you love.
Well, I thought that once about software, and then I kind of really hated writing code when I wasn't at work. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but did you get a chance to say... Did you get a chance to code what you wanted to code?
Yeah, I was on the kernel team at Red Hat.
Oh, cool. And you didn't like that?
What's wrong with the kernel?
Or should we be protecting you by taking your taking your microphone away and leaving your keys on the desk? That type of thing? Good friends don't like other friends go live on a live mic? How about you talk to us about your boat, dude?
Well, they say that it was built as a passenger ferry back in 1922. It did the Seattle to Tacoma run by way of the west side of Vashon Island, making stops all along the way. She carried 300 passengers.
Have you got a link for us? We can put that into the show notes.
Yes.
Yeah, keep going.
Get on with it.
Nah, hard to type and paste at the same time. And truncate silence will remove all these silences, so don't worry about silence.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But what about the sound of silence?
So I just dropped the link to the website in show notes.
Cool. Thank you.
I work in the engineering department, and basically my title is fire and water tender. I'm basically a fireman, and I assist the chief engineer with running the engine, running the boiler, that sort of thing. We have, like I said, the steam engine is 113 years old. It produces 400 horsepower, 200 RPM. It generates 40,000 foot-pounds of torque per cylinder. It's a three-cylinder engine. So, it's a three-cylinder triple expansion engine, which means that the steam goes into the first cylinder and pushes the piston, and then on the return stroke, the steam goes back out into the second cylinder, where it pushes that piston, and it goes back out into the third cylinder, pushes the piston, and then it goes into what's called a condenser, which is a basically a metal tank with a bunch of tubes running through it. And the steam goes in there and surrounds the tubes, and we pump cold seawater through the tubes, and that condenses the steam back to water, and that water gets reused in the boiler.
That's pretty cool.
The engine has 45 manual lubrication points, and it has to be lubricated every 30 minutes, and it's done while the engine is running.
That's cray-cray.
It takes about 5 minutes to do a full oil around.
So, you deal with fire. It sounds you're a firefighter?
Oh, no. There's a fire in the boiler to make steam.
Oh, okay.
How much is fueled off of coal?
We burn diesel fuel. When the ship was built, it burned bunker C, which is a very heavy fuel oil. It's basically one step up from tar. And when it gets cold, it actually solidifies. You have to heat it up in order to pump it.
Yeah. If you were starting off, how would you get it warm enough?
So the old boiler, we have a new boiler that was installed in 2001. These boilers wear out. The old one, they would actually start it off with a little bit of wood, just a few couple cords of wood in the firebox, and that would heat it up enough to heat up the fuel oil and get that flowing.
Cool. Amazing the innovation that there was in steam by the end.
The engineering plant on there represents the absolute pinnacle of triple expansion steam technology.
I'm just doing some posting on social media right now. So you should do a few more shows on that, actually.
I've considered it.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, that would be great, because we've now officially started an engineering...
What are we... You started engineering?
On Hacker Public Radio, there's the option to do in-depth series on things, like Dave Morris has done a series on Bash programming, and Kevin has done done a series on healthcare in the U.S., and previously on LibreOffice. So, but then there are also open series that you can, we group together stuff if people have done things. Like we have a mental health series. People send in various different shows on that topic, then we group it together. So there's been quite a few recently on, engineering, doing cars up and the wing, modifying a hydraulic jack and that sort of thing. So, yeah, they're proving popular, so go for it.
So, maybe I could talk through lighting the plant off. Maybe talk through
absolutely
doing a cruise.
Walk around. You can talk to the other engineers and the other people involved in it. If nothing else, it's free publicity for them.
Yeah, this could be something I could do once we start cruising again here in a few months.
Do you stop for the winter then?
Yeah.
Do the lakes freeze up or what?
No, every year we tear the entire engine room apart and inspect everything and then put it all back together again. And we do that in the winter.
Hands are cold.
Sometimes, if you have to dig around in the bilge.
I mean, everybody's got to dig around in the bilge at one point or another.
Well, our bilge is oily. Every single drop of oil that goes on the engine winds up in the bilge.
So it's like the trap.
Is that by design?
Yes.
And is it recycled?
Not. We don't do onboard recycling. We basically collect the bilge water, separate out the oil, and then the clean water goes into the black water tank and gets pumped through the sewage system, and the oil gets sent off to a recycling center in Seattle.
I see.
But it's special steam engine oil. It's, I think, something like $150 for a 5-gallon bucket. It's not deep.
Not cheap at all.
And is this like a charity that you're running, or how do you pay for it? How do you fund it?
Combinations of memberships in the foundation. We're a non-profit foundation, so memberships in the foundation. People will charter the ship. They want to have their wedding on board or something like that.
Nice.
We do public cruises where we sell tickets throughout the year. And so that all covers our operational expenses pretty well. And capital expenses, like if, say, a bearing went bad on the engine, we get grant money to take care of things like that.
From the government or whom?
Different organizations. Government is one of them.
Very nice. I did hear about there some place in Scotland, I think it was, that it's a reservoir, and the only vehicles that are allowed to travel on it is a steamship, and because it's so clean. And this was the last thing I expected a steamship to be non-polluting. But it could be, like you say, that all the oil is gathered in the bilge.
I don't know about a steamship being cleaner than a properly tuned and operating modern diesel engine. You know, if you have a diesel engine that meets EPA Tier 4 requirements, it's going to be phenomenally cleaner than a steamship.
Does Hacker Public Radio have a Twitters?
Yes, at HPR.
Okie doke.
Hello, gentlemen.
Good morrow, sir. How are you doing, Miner?
I'm doing pretty good. This is my first time on the annual. And I just had a little note. I don't have a link for it, but on YouTube there's a channel about a steam-powered machine shop, and it does have a few other steam-related stuff, both full-scale and model steam. And somebody actually runs a steam shop with two steam engines for power. I just thought that this would be an interest. If people are interested in this subject, I wanted to insert a note.
The netminer is inserting a note. Which nets are you mining?
Well, my grandfather was a coal miner, and I'm on the internet.
Are you from West Virginia?
My dad was. A very small town. On Route 7.
I had the good fortune of opening up an office in Charleston, West Virginia, which is deeper south than Charlestown, West Virginia. Big difference, I discovered.
Since I went there as a kid and I don't drive, I don't know the geography as much as I liked it. I know we were up near the Cheap River area, up in the corner between the panhandles.
Yes, so that would be closer to Charlestown.
Yeah, as I said, this is near Morgantown, where the university is.
Yeah, that's all up near the panhandle, where the college kids go, the Frostburg states. And Frostburg is, I forget what the analogy was, something like prison. It's like it's really easy to get into, but really hard to get out of, because everybody parties up there. That's what aliens understand. I don't know what the word on the street is. Is Ken adjusting his setups?
Nope, I'm doing posting and basically being quiet and letting you guys talk, because there's another 25 hours of this left.
Yeah, no, it's just that. Oh, okay, there it goes. You're lips were highlighted and I didn't hear you, so I was wondering what was going on.
Oh, right, sorry.
No, that's cool.
I shall endeavor to do better, sir.
So Netminer has his father's of mining background origins, and so you're not familiar with the West Virginia territory, so do you mind if we ask where you're broadcasting from?
Well, I'm broadcasting from
Strong.
Boston area.
Oh yeah. All right. So what do you up there in the Boston area? Do you hang out with Matt Damon and the other guy?
No, actually, I'm disabled and I do some computer stuff. Hunky knows me.
Hunky Magoo's been quiet.
Yeah, I think he's just set up the stream and logged in so that he's live and active. I haven't heard him all morning.
I'm the noob here.
Now, when did you? How did you hear about HPR?
Actually, that's a great question.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, all right then. Yeah. While I was at previous employment, which we had already discussed, doing the day-to-day routine, mundane stuff, You look to broaden your horizons, expand your mind a little bit, learn about different things. So initially, I was a big fan of some of the Earwolf podcasts and improv and stuff like that. And then I was looking for things related to IT. I was looking actually for good IT shows, but I couldn't find anything that good. There's a, I forget what it is, but it's a, I guess, a bigger one, and I didn't like that much at all. But I stumbled upon Hacker Public Radio and listened to a couple of those, and I was like, oh, wow, people can upload their own stuff here. So I think I had already known about it when Rutiger and I had done our first podcast. So I believe I had that in the back of my mind that it was a possibility that it would maybe pass the standards.
Oh yeah, the standard is it of interest to hackers? We define hackers as more than two people. So you and Ruthgar would fulfill the requirements. There you go. Job done.
All right. Yeah. Yep.
So what was the stumbling upon, just for my own interest, because it is of interest to me as in the role of keeping this thing alive?
How did I find... I was let go unexpectedly from my position, so I could not give you a browser history and how I came about it exactly.
No, but... just kind of was in Google or via whatever.
Or
was on iTunes or something like that.
No, definitely not iTunes. I was probably looking for like hacker podcasts or hacker something, probably something along those lines. Something with a little bit more nits and grits than what they would cover on the shows, and brought to you by this and this and that. So I was looking for something that would actually be useful, and not just, there's this one that all they talk about is Apple stuff. They're like Apple fanboys, and ugh. So I was looking for the real hackers, the ones running Gentoo, doing their own, rolling their own. And I think I found them.
Very nice.
That's how I found it. I believe I was searching for hacker podcast, and I believe that gave me the correct result that I was looking for.
Yeah, that'll do it. Well, welcome aboard. That's all I'll say.
Aye.
See what I did there? Woke up the fires.
Burr. Gerald, settle down. All right, back to sleep. Yeah, so it seems like a common theme, and you brought this up earlier, Ken, was... mental illness and or addiction and or things relating to burnout, as Pirate had potentially drank a fifth before joining the cast and then dropping out.
Yeah, but now in fairness, it is the Christmas time, so what people do at Christmas time is not necessarily representative of what they do during the rest of the year. And also, time zones do tend to make things look worse than they are, you know what I mean? You could have been out all night, but you're one party in the year, and then you go, oh, I'll just join HPR because that seems like a really good thing to do.
Yeah, just put this on. Yeah. No, absolutely.
But yes, we recommend moderation in all things except moderation.
Yes, I would concur.
I'm just taking the battery charger off a busted Sansa Clip battery that I was in my wife's Sansa Clip.
A Sansa Clip
battery. Yes, you know Sansa Clips. They're like a little MP3 player, and they're so hard to get now that the price has tripled for them.
I had one of those. I had a Sansa something back before iPods.
Yeah, so my whole battery's inside it has exploded off and poofed up. So I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Send it to recycling, I guess. It's going to have to be chemical recycling as well. Okay, anyway, that's another thing.
Well, yeah.
This is what happens when I start tidying my desk, because when stuff goes wrong, they put it on my desk, and then eventually I do a tidy and start fixing some stuff. So,
yeah, I had a earlier Sansa
I haven't gone through the boxes yet. I had to get the boxes up off the floors, got the vacuum going, and then I had some jobs, offers come in, so I was able to hit pause on that. But I had to
be cleaning it.
No, I mean, it's hasn't been this clean since before I moved in, so it's good. But I had a Sansa. I just looked up Sansa clip, and it looks like they had copied the iPod a little bit. They'd gotten a little bit bigger. I had a really, really small one that was a little bit smaller. That was many years. That was about 2006.
Yeah, a lot of people will still use them.
Yeah, they were great too. Yeah, I mean, you could run forever and ever, go to the gym with them. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. The thing is, they've released in the newer ones, you can't put Rhythmbox on it. So Rhythmbox is an open source firmware that you can put on them. And it's a free Libre open source. And a lot of people did that. But now the later ones that they have, they're a lot cheaper, a lot less RAM. And the option to upgrade them isn't there. So it's a bit sad. And also paying 175 euros for something when you can buy an Android phone, you know, a cheapy Android phone just as a media player. So that's kind of what I did this time.
Understood. Glad to hear about other people doing some firmware changes, some ROMs. It's always fun. It's exciting times when you get a ROM to work on your Android. And all right, I fought the system. Oh no, I got to install Google Play.
Yeah, exactly. I don't. I've done on my own phone. I've got Google Play, but for the kids, I download the apps on mine and then copy it across to them. But mostly, they're using stuff off F-Droid, and which is a free open source Google Play Store.
Right.
Thing. And it's actually quite good because I know that everything that's in there is vetted. So I just install whatever you want from over there, and if it breaks, well then I'll just reinstall your phone.
That is, I think, a good example of parenting. That you check what they have, you can make sure that it's not secretly recording them, like the Barbie dolls and all the weird stuff that's coming out.
Yeah, that's a bit odd. But it's hard to know. You can only do your best, you know. So, and then, you know, something like the Intel chip OS running Minix comes out and you think, oh my God, what's going to happen now? How deep does the rabbit hole go?
We did talk about that. And on that note, actually, on my trip to Micro Center today, I was looking for, I had a computer from maybe 2009, right before they switched to the i3s and to the Z7, before they, I forget what the chipset was before, I think 775 sockets. So yeah. I was able to get a very, very good quad core CPU and overclock it and do all that. But that was right before they had put in the ME, all that good stuff. So that bit the dust, finally. It may be able to be repaired, but even if it gets repaired, it's not going to be used in the way that it was. So when I went to Micro Center to get a computer to be used as a television streaming device, I needed to get one that was HDCP compliant in the case that I would have the money to get a 4K television if I wanted to do that. So
so
your options are limited. That's that.
Yeah, that's it. That is it. I think the key is to have it so these devices can't get to the net, to the internet.
Right, hard power switches. So you want to just unplug it if you're not using it.
Exactly. No power, but it's hard to even know then because they're reading a write up about somebody who bought a nightlight that could be controlled by somebody's mobile phone, and then they did a security breakdown of all the permissions and things that it's had, which could be bad programming or just simply malicious programming. I'm probably more inclined to believe bad programming, to be honest.
one or the other. I mean, bad programming leads to malicious programming. Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm replacing a battery here in an ear thermometer, CR2032. Did you know what the CR2232, where the number comes from? Seeing as we're HPR and we're supposed to be providing information.
Some science fiction thing?
No, it's the measurements of the battery. Like 18650 is the width and the height. So the width of the thing is, let me see, get my really cool PCB measuring thing. It's 1 second.
Is that in millimeters?
20 millimeters, 2 centimeters across. 32 is 3.2 millimeters. So 2032 is 3.2 millimeters. So pretty cool. That's where the numbers come from.
Very cool. Today I learned.
There you go.
That all those 2032 batteries sold at Radio Shack, little did I know that they were called that because of their measurements. Yeah, those batteries. Oh, I felt so bad. I felt so evil selling those batteries. Oh.
Why so?
Well, batteries themselves cost 30 cents, maybe? And we sold them for like $3-4.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a markup there, all right, yeah.
Just a little bit. I'm wondering, speaking of markups and planned obsolescence, had that big Apple fiasco, which everybody kind of knew already and whatever. And so Apple says, oh, hey, we want to be good to our people. We want to, you know, we want to do the right thing here. So just stop on in and get a new battery for $30 anytime you want.
Yeah, but in fairness, replacing it, if I had the choice of spending $30 or spending a day trying to unglue an iPhone, if somebody would come in and just replace it for that, that I believe is worth it.
But what if they didn't use glue in the first place?
Yeah, but, you know, they have... Yeah, I know, but... They have.
We could go on this for 20. How long we got? We could go on it the whole time.
We could.
Yeah.
But don't want it.
Neither do I, mate.
So I put a link in the show notes there to a really cool thing that I got. If you're anyway interested in electronics, it's a PCB ruler from Adafruit. And it just gives you all the little components and gives you physical sizes. So if you're planning to do some soldering or whatever, or you want to know how large traces are or how big AWG gauges are, you can look to this ruler. It's really cool.
That is really cool. I will have to find out if my alien father has one of those. He is of the transistor generation. No, not the transistor. I should say the vacuum tube generation.
Oh, nice.
He repairs radios.
So does my father, as it happens.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about that? We are contemporaries. Or does that... Was that an... Did you take offense? I'm sorry.
Good gosh, no, I was just replacing the battery.
Yeah.
Look, no. Dude. We're both on a...
Dude,
like we're both on a 24-hour show that's 26 hours, and we're here talking junk on New Year. I think we can safely say we're contemporaries, yes.
Okay, all right. And you are in a better place on the Blue Marble?
I am living in Bussum, which is a small town just outside, half an hour by train outside of Amsterdam. And
lucky you. Oh boy, we had back in the early alien days in alien high school, we had these Belgians come in and invade our space camp. We learned how A, cool they were, and B, how uncool we were.
No, not at all. Everything's relative over here. When American kids come in, like, they're the coolest thing on the planet. So, yeah.
Nah. American kids, they don't even...
I'm going to go grab a coffee. I'll be back in a minute.
All right. Netminer, are you with us?
Yes, I
Jives if I'm not aware.
I was still under that other operating system.
What do you operate under now?
Linux, mostly Sparky.
Sparky. That's going in the show notes. We're going to have to check that out. And why do you use Linux Sparky? What's the draw?
Well, for one thing, they still support 32-bit flexibility. It has lots of installers, including installers for things like web browsers. And I'm heavily into web browsing on my systems. It's Debian-based, which is why it still supports 32-bit. I have some 64-bit machines and one old P4, which is an old Dell machine that was really tricky to install a new system on because it only boots from CD-sized media.
Ah, so you can't do a boot from a USB or anything else there?
Well, I was having difficulty. Also, even though it has a DVD drive, it won't boot the DVDs.
Ah, okay. Okay, I see. So it doesn't have the kernel components to get the DVDs, run them, read them.
Yeah, it doesn't have the BIOS stuff for the first, you know.
Gotcha.
I mean, it will do DVDs once you get an intelligent system on board, but just getting that first bootstrapping. Also, one of the things about is their command line installer, which is a very small package, will allow you to install a desktop, which means you can use it to bootstrap to a full whatever you want. You install via command line, but after that, you can put a desktop on it and then start building up from there.
Nice, nice. So you like to do your own build?
Well, on more modern machines, I like, you know, like everybody else, I like DVDs or flash installs. But it worked out pretty good for me. I'm a refugee from Windows 7.
Yes. Lee, what did you not like about Windows 7? I mean, what was there to like would be the counter-argument, but what was your main beef?
The main beef was that that they were pushing Windows 10, and I had a virus problem, and I switched over to Linux to get away from that.
Yes, Linux is much like poor man's Apple in that it's not susceptible to viruses as much as Windows seems to be built for, almost.
Well, I used hyperextended DOS for many years. In fact, is a lot of my GNU stuff was first under DOS. And then under various versions of Windows.
I see. When I was just a young alien back in the day, started off with a Amiga 2000, and you had to boot up off the floppy. And even though it had the GUI, which was relatively new at that time, it still had a DOS side to it. So that was my first introduction to the command line, I guess you could say.
Well, back in the dawn of time, my introduction to computers was teletype, and our data storage was a pie plate, because that's where you put the paper tape.
Right. It's kind of like the IBM punch card version 2.
Well, punch cards would have been faster. This was 10 characters per second.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yep.
I wonder if that phrase is copyrighted.
Yeah, I mean, if it was somebody's birthday, I was going to play the birthday song, but that just opens me up to a whole can of worms. Can't play the birthday song anymore. I guess no, but that I crickets. Disney owns the birthday Happy Birthday song, and so if you're to ever if you're ever to hear the birthday song in a movie or any media, it is copyrighted, and you have to pay Disney for that. So nobody play the birthday song, all right? Because that is not a Creative Commons.
Cricket.
That's a fact I learned in the movie called The Corporation. So if no one's willing, I'll just go on. Oh, yeah. Getting that live stream on. Yeah. Netminer, can you give me a topic?
Well, you have all kinds of topics. Well, first, for those of us who came in late, where is everybody?
You didn't miss anything. No one came on. there was one other person that was, there was Pirate. Was on and then he went off. So I think we're waiting for the show to begin. So this is the pre-show. This is pre-gaming.
Have you ever listened to Linux Lug or Ogcast? Linux Lug Ogcast.
Linux Lug Ogcast. No, but I believe that's what is being run, Linux Lugcast.
Yeah, that's where I and Honky come from. And
gotcha.
5150 and a few others.
Any 1911s or 2600s?
Pardon me, I don't get the reference.
Oh, okay. There are Atari 2600s, and then there was the pirating group Razer 1911. Big in the day.
Well, did you say 2600? Yeah, I'm familiar with the phone freakers of that caliber.
Ah, okay. So you can get us to the secret FBI installation where you can tap into any phone, Kevin Mitnick style.
I said I. You got to remember, I'm a dinosaur. I date from the dial-up days, so some of the stuff 2600 was war dialing and stuff like that.
Yes.
Also, if you've got, I think, Amiga stuff, I will recommend on, again, I do a lot of my stuff off YouTube. Terrible Fire is doing a lot of YouTube videos on various Amiga and some Atari compatible upgrades. Especially for the Amiga 500 running a 6830 or 6840, 6820.
Yeah, was that the Motorola chipset?
Yes, the higher end virtual memory, full boat chipset, replacing just the 68,000 on the base Amiga.
Yeah, there's a great documentary. I'll see if I can find it maybe and put it in the show notes about the close of the 68,000, it says here, or 68K or whatever. But there's a great documentary somewhere on the YouTubes about the closing of the Amiga factory and like how unfortunate it was for the Amiga to go away, and that's why there's such a dedicated fan base, I think, for the Amiga even today, because it was so far ahead of its time. When I was just a small alien, if you were to get computer software, you had to go to a place they call Rockville, and you don't want to go to Rockville, but we had to. So, but there were only a number of local stores that would sell software, and they were all Amiga stores. And the Amiga had a 24-bit graphics. I'm talking about an Amiga 2000, so that's a little bit more advanced. But I have one. It won't boot. It just gives me a red light, but it was stationed in a garage for probably about 20 years. So I haven't pulled it apart and tried to put it back together, but no idea what kind of corrosion or what kind of cretins might be living in the casing. So I'm not quite sure. But if you know the right people that are willing and able to work on them, that would be great. Because I know you can just load an extension into Chrome and do it, but there's nothing like the real thing. Baby.
Yes, well, that also is a ancient advertising phrase.
Yeah. Okay, this is a German documentary. I think I found the right one I was looking for there. Yeah, and I don't support any advertising. I'm very adverse to any sorts of advertising. Don't like it. That's one thing that I like about Hacker Public Radio is that they're very short on advertising. But we would like to support an honest host and Josh, who runs the site, keeps the site alive, keeps the stuff going. I just thought I'd plug that. And I believe right now on Hacker Public Radio, I believe there's a special, if I'm not mistaken. If you were to donate at this time, you know, a 1 to 3, I think somebody will triple your contribution, which is very gracious of whoever that is. You know, if you donate right now, you do $5, results in $20. So it's a 3-to-1. So very generous if someone to donate. I know I will, but I'll have to translate my galactic coin into unobtainium and then put that into Bitcoin or Ethereum and then see if I can get it over to him. So it'll be a whole process. Yeah. But that's cool. So you're familiar with the chipsets, old 6800s, the Motorolas. For me, growing up as a kid, I know that it was very beneficial to have the Amiga because not only did I learn command line interface on the DOS side, but I also had a much better gaming system than anybody else did until I think the Sega Genesis came out. It was better than the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo. The color, I think, was actually better. Because I would see the consoles come out, and I'm like, oh, you know, my old Amiga's looks a little bit better. So I went back and looked into it, and I believe it's a 24-bit color schema, which was way ahead of its time. Again, it was big with the creators, the musicians, video. That also gets into the hacking, call them?
The demos. Apple for those people who couldn't afford Apple.
But Apple wasn't even there yet at that time.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying it was, you know.
So later on, you could get a cheap Amiga because they went out of business rather than get an Apple product. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, it filled that niche that everybody thinks that creative is Apple.
Right. I remember growing up at when I go to alien school, they'd have these Apples. There were these Macs, as they used to call them, or maybe they still, I don't know. I would just think, I'm like, wow, these things suck. They only take a 5 1/4 disc and it's like a green screen. Come on. I was like, why are we donating box tops for this outdated tech? When at home I was playing flight simulators and Dungeons and Dragons, crazy RPG games and all sorts of stuff. Just didn't make sense to me. All right. But we also enjoyed the feature where you could type something in and it would say something. I don't know if that's what Radiohead may have used on OK Computer, but it's the same voice. It's kind of the stereotypical voice of their computer. Let's see if I can maybe load the Amiga console and see if we need some voice pumping in. Yeah, we were talking about Micro Center a little bit earlier. Great place.
A dangerous place for your wallet.
Dangerous place for the wallet. Absolutely. Absolutely. You do not want to go there with your wallet full. You want to get in, get out. But that's true with any store. Definitely just get in, get what you need, get out.
Well, for a lot of things, it's replaced the late lamented Radio Shack.
Yes, it has. It has. In fact, I've met some people that old managers go to a Micro Center and be like, "Oh, hey, Dale, how's it going? Hey, you be my manager." He's like, "Oh, hey, how's it going, Casper? Haven't seen you. Hey, how you doing? Oh, my wife died. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." So yeah,
it's cheerful stuff, dude.
Yeah, I know. We go deep. Go deep. Yeah, but you know, well, that's what happened. There was a mass migration of the Radio Shack employees. At the time I was joining Radio Shack, there was a time when I was a young alien.
Back where, in a bit, guys.
Okay, so when I was a little alien, you looked up to Radio Shack employees because they knew how to do everything or anything you wanted, and you always had this. You had a respect for Radio Shack employees, so you could bring in something and say, "Hey, can I do this to this or whatever?" And when I grew up, I just happened to get a job there because I knew somebody that worked there. And at the time I joined, they were definitely transitioning from, I guess, what was a sustainable commission-based income stream for their employees to a not so sustainable income stream for their employees. And I was unfortunate because at the time I joined, I was the youngest. When I left, I was the oldest. But maybe I just hung on too long there. Yeah, I learned a lot from the older people there first. Got a lot of social skills, was able to talk to people. I was actually quite afraid. I was like, "Oh, I actually have to go out there and talk to people that come into the store." So it's a good experience. I think everybody should have to do retail at some point in their lives. I think that should be a year course for everyone. Just so, if for nothing else, that you treat retail employees with respect.
Yeah, well, I spent the first 8 years of my employment in running or servicing a 7-Eleven.
Oh, okay. And what was your experience there, if you don't mind me asking?
My experience there was probably not broadcastable. Well, one of the things that I ran into is I was working 360 days a year, 5 hours a day, so they didn't have to pay benefits. My dad did not consider that full time.
Yeah, so I guess I'm sensing some family.
Well, I got PTSD at home, not in the military. Also, about the turn of the century, or in one of those early years, I found out that I had something called Asperger's syndrome.
Really? So it would be said that you are on the spectrum, is what they call it?
Yeah, I used to have Asperger's syndrome until they changed the definition.
Yeah, those DSM-4s and
whatever it is. Yes, they've changed the DSM, and now I no longer have Asperger's, even though that I haven't changed anything myself. I thought it was a useful definition, but the eggheads, you know. Of course, since I was raised a 50s kid in the 60s, I've gone through a lot of nomenclature changes, like the generations of the word for people of color.
Right.
Negro, black,
Afro-American. We can probably, yes, I understand. It's, you know, yeah.
I was raised in the days of stewardesses.
Of what? Stewardesses instead of flight attendants. Is that correct?
Yeah. When they're actresses.
So is everyone called an actor or an actress now? I can't keep track.
They're all called actors now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't keep track of that stuff. For my generation, we would say a word that is no longer kosher to say. Maybe even kosher is not going to be okay to say soon. But, you know, to say somebody was stupid, you can't say that anymore, especially in Boston. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. Jimmy. Oh, Klaatu has entered. He's joined us. Grace us with his presence.
Well, oh. Welcome. I've listened to your cast back along. Nice to hear you live.
We're waiting for Klaatu. There we go.
Hey there.
Hey, Klaatu. How you doing?
Pretty good. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you. We got a Netminer here with us.
Howdy, Netminer. Over and out. Netminer's not really with us.
Oh, I'm here. I'm just on the side.
Somebody's
got to be in, you know, with so many chiefs, you've got to have an Indian or two.
Cool.
By the way, has anyone heard of Peter 64?
Heard of him or heard from him?
Heard from him lately.
Maybe a month ago, I saw him on IRC. I was talking to him a little bit. Gosh, well, maybe 2 months ago now.
Well, if you get a chance, just say Netminer said hello and best wishes and all.
Next time I see him, I will do that. He's not on that often lately.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from DevRandom and other places.
Cool. Yeah, I'll let him know.
I'm from DevNull.
Aren't we all? Actually, I'm from DevSR0, just to be different.
Yeah, all right. Change it up a little bit. That's cool. Yeah.
What's been going on? Are you guys? When did this call start anyway? I don't even know. Like, I forget when it actually started.
We are an hour and a half into the fun.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, I'm an, what is it? What time is it right now? Whatever time it is right now, I think it's about, yeah, so it's 12:30. So I'm a half hour into 2018.
Wow. So a happy new year to you, Klaatu.
Thank you. You don't have to applaud. I didn't actually do anything. It just happens. It just ticks over on its own.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't push it over or anything. It just happens.
I thought you had to climb the stair and get up there and move the sun and the moon. And I thought that was all under your control.
There is the main event, like the main New Year's event here in New Zealand, happens at a place called the Sky Tower in Auckland, which is like, I don't know, 1,000 miles away from, well, maybe not 1,000, but it's all the way at the tip of the North Island, so I'm nowhere near that. But yeah, I've always thought it was kind of funny that it is the Sky Tower, because it seems so important. But I think it's just a corporate tower that they call Sky Tower. It's like probably the tallest thing in New Zealand. But yeah, they shoot fireworks off of it, and that's what we do, I guess.
Off the tip?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yes. it's kind of funny, but they show it for like 13 seconds on the TV. It's like it's sort of a super tiny sort of sad version of the New York ball dropping.
Oh, anything that happens outside of these United States, aliens are fans of. So, even if it's shooting just from the tip, even though it might be a little awkward, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, I once ran into somebody who had a Kiwi sticker on his car. He was surprised that anyone in America knew what that was.
I really didn't get it until I moved here. I thought they were talking about the Kiwi fruit, and I didn't understand why they called themselves Kiwis. And it wasn't until I moved here that I learned that Kiwi is actually a bird here, and I guess they associate themselves with that bird because it's a very unique bird. I'm still not really sure why they connect with that bird so much, but yeah, I didn't really understand until I moved here. I was completely clueless.
So can you, I don't know if this is fair game, but you said you're an expat, don't have the accent, so I was kind of curious as to what led to the migration, bigger and better things?
Yeah, so I was living most recently in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and my girlfriend was like, hey, we should move to New Zealand. And then I saw, like, just coincidentally, like maybe a month later, I saw a job posting at a movie studio with credentials that basically matched exactly what I had accidentally sort of ended up studying for, like that weird mix of film and computers. Like, I went to school for film, but I got into computers myself. So nice. I had like this weird kind of like, you know, dual major sort of thing going on. I mean, no, not really, but I mean, I did. And so it was just a perfect match. So I applied, and then they hired me, and that took care of all the paperwork. I mean, that's the big thing, right? If you're moving outside of the U.S. or outside of any country, I mean, you got to get your papers. You know, you have to have your work right. visa and all that other stuff. Yep. So if you get that, you're good as gold. And yeah.
Actually, speaking of that, if you give me a second here, I need to grab my phone. There's another alien brother, not Rutiger, but he might be joining us on this plane, so I'm gonna mute my mumble for a second.
Cool, that's exciting. I wonder who it is. It's like a special guest star.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I remember Peter 64 so much is that my mother and father came from farms. Yeah, my grandfather was a coal miner, but my dad ran a dairy farm when he was younger. Actually, he created a dairy farm when he was younger.
Wow.
Turning 80 or 90 acres of weeds into a humming modern dairy operation between like World War II and Korea.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I guess in theory it's not that amazing, right? You just get a bunch of cattle and keep them happy and then milk them, but to actually make it profitable and, like, you know, an actual sort of self-sustaining thing, that's pretty amazing.
Well, also, he went to an agricultural high school, which is to say he had basically the best technical education for agriculture in his family and maybe in the area, since a lot of farmers didn't go to colleges.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
And my other parent was from a farm in Maine, and it was still using basically milk can technology. So I've been exposed to both relatively modern stuff and very more traditional. When my grandfather was alive, they're even running with unbaled hay.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't actually know there were, I mean, is there a lot of farmland up in Maine? I don't know a whole lot about Maine, but it kind of strangely surprises me to hear that there's farmland in Maine. But I guess there has to be farmland practically everywhere.
Well, there used to be. The farms have died off over the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Actually, even where I live in Massachusetts, there used to be dairy farms only within a couple of miles of here.
I'm actually going to be in Massachusetts later this month. I'll be in Boston, though.
Are you going to be tried, burned at the stake?
No, I'm hopefully not. I'm going to stay away from Salem.
Yeah, while I grew up on farms on vacations, I'm actually a refugee from the country.
From New Zealand?
No, from the country as in Hee-Haw country.
Okay.
Farms. Gotcha.
The boonies.
Civilization.
The dueling
cross,
banjo country.
Cross the banjo, yeah, the banjo line.
Yeah, places where...
parts unknown.
Gun control is a good stance.
Yes, there. I heard a story from someone secondhand that was somewhere at a bar somewhere deep in Virginia, and they were shooting off machine guns and stuff. And the guy was like, "Hey," he's like, "Aren't you worried about the police showing up?" Or something? "Police? We are the police."
Great.
Yeah.
Well, in Massachusetts, there was a machine gun shoot, and they gave some kid a mini Uzi because it was small and cute. Killed himself. Now, that's a weapon that's hard for an adult to control. Criminal negligence. Now, yes. Out in Arizona, they had a machine gun shoot where they had people shooting tripod-mounted machine guns. The thing about a tripod-mounted machine gun is it has a lot of stops and whatnot so that you can make certain that it only can shoot downrange.
Right.
So by using their brains and having proper adult supervision, they were allowing youngsters to fire far more powerful weapons in perfect safety.
I see. So they were not negligent in that case.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a house full of firearms, but we were taught how to handle them or not handle them, and we were perfectly safe.
And that's always good.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing about, like, gun control, the whole gun control debate that I never hear a whole lot about, which, I mean, I don't really pay that much attention to it lately, but it's just, like, sure, there's gun control, but, like, obviously there's automobile control, right? Like, if you get a car, you have to take a test and get a license and stuff. And, I mean, has anyone really sort of proposed that gun control could just kind of look more like that rather than looking like the feds coming to your house and confiscating your guns like people are seeming to be afraid of? Like, why not just kind of make it a little bit more official so that there is some semblance of education around the subject?
Well, because gun control is largely limiting the risk to politicians.
Well, the NRA, as aliens understand it, Batu, I just put a link there in the thing.
I see.
That's the Ether pad if you want to add notes as people are talking or whatever.
Interesting.
Ken had asked that we do that so he did not have to listen to 26 hours.
And that's a good idea, yeah.
And if I had looked at that, I would have known that it was midnight or New Year's in your neck or your part of the blue marble. So, I just want to share that there. I think Ken's cleaning his house and stuff.
I wouldn't want to have to listen to 26 hours of this, honestly.
I'm trying to get Rutiger to do some show notes, and that is not happening so well, but that's a whole nother story. So.
Yeah, show notes are horrible. I mean, they really are. They're really...
They're not. They're very important. Tattoo.
No, they're important. Darn it. darn. I thought you weren't here.
Yes,
I got it on good authority that you were not here.
Just because I avoid gun discussions doesn't mean I'm not here.
Well, yes, show notes are important. They're just, it's so difficult to do them half the time. Because it's like you've already spent all that time doing the podcast, and then you're meant to do the notes. And it's
okay,
just like,
for
I'm doing it twice.
We will do the show notes for you if you don't, for anyone listening. However, how can
I'm actively contributing to the show notes. I just want it to be said.
Tatu, how can you do a show without show notes? Do you not start doing the show notes, or do you just talk off the cuff?
Yeah, I generally talk off the cuff. Yeah, because I usually talk as I do what I'm talking about, so it's kind of like I'm basically just describing what I am doing, which is how I tend to give presentations. I mean, I have my head that I planned in.
It's a good place to plan.
Yeah, if you
can. I find.
Well done,
yeah.
But as a wise person once said, the palest ink is better than the best memory.
That is awfully wise. No, I do. I totally plan on doing show notes for things, and I feel like I do eventually get around to it. But it's a different process for me. You know, if I'm going to do a show note, I tend to want to make it into something that's like sort of publishable. You know, so it's a different step.
Okay, that's allowed.
Yeah, I tried to do a good show note, but then I got beaten. Beaten like the dirty dog I am for my spans and my divs. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean, markdown. Yes. Mark, just use markdown. I mean, get rid of the divs and the spans.
Basic HTML. God, are you trolling me now?
Do you not have markdown conversion? I thought you accepted markdown.
Yeah, Dave accepts markdown. I have this long-running argument with him that if people either send in text without formatting or HTML, proper HTML that doesn't have any crap in it, we're talking about line items, headers, strong, sure, and emphasis. That's it. Just basic HTML. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you send it in into, it's going to end up as HTML5. And the person who's going to do that, if you don't do it, then it's either me or Dave who's going to have to do it.
I didn't know that. I thought you had some kind of conversion thing going on. But, I mean, surely markdown is better than unstructured text.
No, not always. No, we've received in some absolutely god-awful markdown. And 5 hours into it, you're just going, all right, I'm just going to copy and paste this and as plain text and start from there.
Yeah, okay. And I guess that's a problem.
Sometimes it goes perfectly, but there are so many variations of markdown.
Of markdown, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
So I'm thinking if somebody's capable, it's like a barrier. If somebody's capable of figuring out org mode in Emacs, then they're capable of doing HTML, basic HTML files.
Okay, so not looking at anyone in particular. Note to future HPR hosts, then never admit to knowing org mode, and you can do whatever you want.
I've just lost the battery. Keek.
I've been loving those readline things that Dave has been posting, though. Yeah, the cool readline episodes. Amazing stuff.
Actually, there should be an Emacs podcast.
We can do an Emacs series on HPR.
I mean, I did a start on Emacs miniseries, but yeah, someone could absolutely get through a whole year by just doing Emacs episodes. Because, I mean, just open the Emacs wiki and read a page. I mean, it would be that simple.
What we actually need, and we spoke about this on the Community News Show, which hasn't been posted yet, which I need to do, is a Git series, and I volunteered you for that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I actually have show notes for that.
Oh, written.
Yeah. They exist.
I'm not even going to talk about the format. I just want to know if it was written.
Yeah, good. Let's not discuss. No, it's actually it's in several formats. It is written. It is it's good to go.
Okay. Hashtag you owe me a show.
Yeah, I will. I will make a note of that and see what I can do.
Man, if I thought it was so easy to get episodes from people by just asking.
Yeah, who was that guy who did the who read the articles from opensource.com on Kaden Live? What was his name? I'm blanking on the name. I feel horrible for blanking on the name.
I had it there and it just escaped me as my mouth started working. Hold on.
Hate it when that happens. All right, we're 2 hours
Geddes.
In.
Geddes.
Geddes, of course, yes. Geddes. Sorry, Geddes.
Yep, sorry, Geddes. If he wants to read more, there's a whole Git series that I could point him towards.
He did an amazing job on that.
He did great, yeah.
I feel guilty about asking him for that because of the amount of work he had to do in order to produce it.
Oh, wow.
1.42 volts. Is that correct for a AG10 battery? We should ask Wikipedia.
Doesn't sound... ask Wikipedia. The internet knows everything.
Yeah, my first experience with Emacs was on PDP-11s at MIT.
Wow, that's pretty legit.
And the only mouse in the computer room had a tail and was considered vermin.
Still are in some parts.
Well, I was on night TVs, which were sort of a multi-headed Hercules in a PDP-11.
So what's it called again? MTV? NTV? What did you say?
Night TVs. There were a video system where you had multiple graphical screens and keyboards, but it was equivalent to basically what PC people would think of as a Hercules screen.
I'm sorry, I don't know what a Hercules screen is.
It used to be an old type of...
Graphical green screen. Okay. IBM text screen, but Hercules allowed you to do graphics on it. It was one of the early PC could take your text mode monitor and actually do some two color graphics on it.
Oh, cool. Wow. Okay.
And Night TV was doing that sort of thing off of PDP 11 generation before. Originally used for a lot of AI stuff at MIT with a room filling 36-bit machine.
36 bits. Wow. That's insane. I've heard of 36-bit machines. I've never really understood why they existed. I guess because they had four extra bits.
Well, a lot of it was because for a long time, characters were all uppercase and you only needed 6 bits and 36 bits was 6.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
I think we have a show. I think we should end the show here. We've just learned something. I think that's the New Year's show.
Okay, so...
No, we're not supposed to learn anything on the New Year's show. We're all supposed to be drunk. And...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Darn it.
Yeah.
We'll just wait till Rediger gets on. We'll see what happens.
I just scored myself a
yeah.
trip switch from an old toy. I'm doing the traditional New Year's tidy up the back room because I'm stuck out here because of the show. So I'm going through all the stuff that I have to, that the kids have broken down through. Well, not broken, but have broken through the years. And there's a revolving toy that has a spring-loaded trip switch. So I'm going to use that in the project later on.
So in the show notes, I looked up Hercules computer stuff, and I think the first link I put in there is not the right one. I think the second one might be the right one. It talks about Hercules Incorporated and World War II and NATO and rocket fuel, commercial gun pump. I don't know, 1950s?
I think it's the second one you're looking at. Hercules Computer Technology, that's it. They had a graphics support. I remember the first, it went from VGA, and then you could buy a Hercules card, and we had a few of them knocking around for really high-end stuff.
Okay, so it was the first one and not the second one.
Well, maybe correct. The second one as well, but the first one is the one that I would associate.
Yeah, the first one it looks like it's more apropos to the discussion. I mean, knowing nothing, having just learned about it, but I mean, the first one has pictures of graphics cards, so there you go.
Today I learned that my first graphics card was a Hercules.
Ooh, that's fancy.
There you go.
How did you recognize it?
Because under Hercules Thriller 3D TH, blah, 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 it says Rendition Vertite V2200 AGP 8 MB SG RAM. The Rendition Vertite was, we had a 486, 66 megahertz when the Windows 3.1 was still around. And when Quake came out, it was built
around.
It
always comes back to Quake.
No, it doesn't always come back to Quake.
That's true. It always comes back to Doom. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Wait, yeah, true, but then it goes back to Wolfenstein. And then,
yeah.
Then you know where that goes, right? Every
Nazis?
Conversation. Yeah. Every, right? That's the old... Right. So we just completed the podcast. I guess we can go home now.
All right. See you.
All right.
Ken's already home.
What one of the interesting things we had back as dinosaurs over at Building 20, God rest, you know, was a temporary building that only lasted from World War II to the turn of the century. They had on this big computer some IBM, I guess, 7 or 9 track tape drives. And they said the difference between IBM tape drives and digital equipment tape drives, which digital was the one who made the big 36-bit machine, that if an IBM tape drive fell off the truck, you'd have a pothole. If a digital tape drive fell off the truck, you'd have a pile of plastic.
Yeah. So the IBM stuff was built to last.
It was built slightly heavier than a tank. Yeah, I went to when the computer museum was in Boston, I went to it with an IBM field service engineer, which is IBM speak for computer repairman. And he would go up to a sorter and pull the skins off because that's what he did every day. Punch card sorter.
Yeah.
he joined IBM when IBM business machines had a lot more gears than transistors.
Yeah.
Okay. I was doing a little bit of Wikipedia research on why I did not know that the rendition had anything to do with the Hercules chipset, and I'm not quite sure. The V2200, which was renditions, was offered on several cards, which was a Hercules Thriller 3D offered in AGP and PCI. But at that time, there were, like, NVIDIA wasn't back in out. I just knew it was a rendition chipset. So, but yeah, I knew that Diamond had one that also wasn't as quite as good. But anyway.
Yeah, I remember the Diamonds vaguely.
Yeah, back when you'd go into a computer store and you'd see, like, they had just gotten 3D, like the Pixel. I think it was, what was that fighting game? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really into gaming back then, or graphics cards, for that matter.
Are we talking Duke Nukem?
Oh, it could be.
Duke Nukem was definitely a bump to the Doom engine. It gave you the jumping ability and the flying ability. That was a good game engine, which spawned many other games.
I like the Energizer Buddy mod for Duke Nukem.
It's been so long. I would dial up with other aliens at the time and play Duke Nuke.
I didn't know that it was multiplayer. I feel like this Etherpad is an hour off because I signed on. Oh no, I'm misreading the timestamps. Never mind. Oh no, it is confusing me because it says greetings to New Zealand twice on the Etherpad, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, what we're using is a template that K5 Tux came up with, I think, maybe about 3 years ago now.
Okay. For some reason it says greetings New Zealand, Chatham Islands and New Zealand. Oh, New Zealand, Chatham Islands. Okay. I didn't know there was a difference between Chatham Islands and New Zealand, Chatham Islands. Never mind.
Sorry about that.
It's always mysterious when someone sort of disappears off of Mumble. It's like, well, have they forgot to press their talk to speak button, or have they just walked away?
The Van Allen belt is always interfering with our transmissions.
Ah, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. And for you on the terrestrial Blue Marble, you've got, as I understand it, optical cables underseas that are then split and then go into data centers and then split back out. So you never know what kind of shenanigans are going on there.
It's kind of amazing. Like the fact that that it's actually cable laid across the ocean. That just seems unbelievable to me.
I got one of the treasures I have here buried somewhere is a book from 1991. Where somebody actually did what they call an internet travel log, and he went around the world talking to various people who were making the internet connections.
Oh, nice.
At the time, you could actually tell where things went. And the amount of finagling and, you know, backdoor, side door stuff that was going on with the internet was rather amazing, especially since that was before the internet was open to common data standards. That is to say, business stuff could only go over these cables, and academic stuff could go over that stuff, and military stuff had to go over here, and you know.
Which one goes to Westworld? I guess we'll just have to find out.
I haven't actually seen that show. I know it's a big thing, but I haven't seen it. I mean, I haven't even seen the movie upon which it was based, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't see the movie, but
I always meant to.
Aliens understand that the technology that DARPA has is potentially 50 years ahead of what you may be aware of.
DARPA or Google?
It just depends on which alphabet.
Yeah.
Just rearrange the alphabet. When you own the alphabet, I mean, what else are you going to own? What more can you own?
Numbers?
Are numbers part of the alphabet? I guess not.
I think arguably not. Roman numerals are.
But they've got Google I.O.
There you go.
So I think that covers that. Yeah, it's and I'm glad too. We'll probably get into it at some point, but the increasing, I guess the increasing definition of fascism, right? Is that all you're gonna give me? Is an
No, I thought you were gonna say more, so I wasn't gonna interrupt. But yeah, no, I think that's I think it's kind of dangerous to increase the definition too much, but maybe you mean the way that it manifests itself rather than how we name it.
The interesting thing is I was hanging out with some contemporary aliens history majors, mind you, and I said, can anybody give me the definition of fascism? Nope, nobody could give me the definition of fascism. I was just befuddled. I could not believe that history majors didn't know what the definition of fascism is.
Is that because they didn't want to pin it down, or because they just hadn't really thought about it before?
They were like, oh, that's just when it's total control of, and you can't do what you want. Nazis, right? No.
Always goes back to that.
Right, but they're missing a step, a big step. Which is it's the marriage of corporations and government.
Oh, see, I hadn't thought of that either. Yeah, that's a really good qualifier. Because yeah, I was thinking of the nationalism aspect of it.
With Nazis, you talk about the socialist. They called themselves socialists, but that was really just a trick. Yeah. That, you know, he actually infiltrated the party. It was the elites funded the rise of the Reich, and if you read into, so basically what they were afraid of was socialism, communism from Russia, and
right, yeah,
and so they didn't care which how
it, yeah it, yeah they, it's so funny too that they would that they were so, I mean, I guess they were against everyone, but I mean, yeah, they were very against sort of Russian communism, and yet they called themselves a socialist party. And it's just like, what's really the difference between those two things anyway? So why would you be so hostile to communism?
Right. Yeah, it was just a trick.
And it's because they weren't. Yeah, yeah. But people fall for it, man. They fall. You call yourself one thing, and even if you act completely opposite, people are like, well, he said he was such and such. You know, it's like, well, he said he was a Christian, but, you know, he's doing this thing. But he said it. He said it. Yeah, you know, it's just so simple.
Oh, yeah. Labels. Labels.
Yeah, labels are super powerful, as silly as that seems.
Wait a minute, guys.
Okay.
You are missing the boat entirely.
Okay.
The original fascists were not German. They were Italian.
Yeah, no, I don't think I was saying the original fascists were German. I'm even wondering if they were originally like Italian. There's probably a precedence before that, I would sort of imagine. Or are you talking about early Italian?
You know what a fasc is?
Oh, no. What do you mean?
Fascism, the symbol of the fascism, or the original Roman definition where it comes from, Latin, is a bundle of sticks. It is supposedly a unification of power. So that if we all work together, that's where they got the socialist angle to it.
Okay.
And the guy who had the fasc was the guy who was applying the unified power of the people.
He was the puppet master.
Just like the head of the Communist Party is... you know, communism is a very democratic ideal, but we just select out who can do the voting, and it ends up with one guy running things anyway.
There's lots of different ways to split it up. You're absolutely right.
The origin was from the 1920 Italian fascismo, from Fascismo Bundle political group. So it's a very broad definition.
But there's still that element of deceit, right? I mean, it's like, oh, we're going to band together, we're going to do this, there's going to be one unified front, or there's going to be one unified champion, and it ends up, I mean, that is what it is, but I mean, it's all for completely, it's like putting a feel-good sort of message on something that's basically completely exclusionary and oppressive.
Government?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Fun times here on Hacker Public Radio. You're tuning in 2 hours and 13 minutes in. Welcome. Yeah.
It's good that you're remembering to do the station identifiers, you know, at the top of the hour or whatever.
Do it again.
It's important. Yeah, it's important.
Do it again. We're 2 hours into the New Year's Eve broadcast. If IT doesn't work out, if it doesn't work out, then I'll be coming to you live on a car commercial on your radio station. It's the Labor Day sale.
It has to be local, though. You have to do local radio, because that's where, they really just let you loose then. You know, you can just be as over the top as you could possibly be.
Saw good, man. If you don't get the reference, I will put it in the notes.
You'll have to.
I'll have to. Yeah, it's a. Have you heard of the show Breaking Bad?
I've heard of it, but never seen it.
So Breaking Bad was a big hit, and they did a spinoff. Vince Gilligan did a spinoff that focused on just the lawyer and how he. It was kind of a prequel to Breaking Bad and how this lawyer came about, and his name is Saul Goodman.
Okay.
And he. Got it from it's all good, man. It's all good, man. So,
gotcha.
But he just made up this character on the spot for he was trying to make money to do. I can't remember exactly what the plot was, but it was a local TV. You know, he had all this airtime and he was trying to, but he couldn't use the airtime for some reason or another. So he was using the airtime to sell the airtime. He's like, do you want to be broadcast live, you know, on that's all right, you know? So he created this character to sell it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually funny because here in New Zealand there, I mean, maybe it's still in the States, but I don't think it was in the States anymore, but here in New Zealand, like at late at night, like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., that time frame, the TV stations will actually go off the air, and they'll just like, well, some of them will just run nothing, which really puzzles me, but other ones will still run those crazy infomercials, and it's just so weird to see that now.
Where they're like, are you home? Are you smoking? Is your name Klaatu?
Yeah, pretty much,
And you're like, what, me?
I'm back.
How did you know?
They're talking to me.
Yeah.
It's just, it feels like we should, surely we have a history, a collection of media that we could just press play on, you know, like, surely we don't need to run this subpar quality of media, even if it is late at night. Like, just, I don't know, Mr. Ed reruns would be better than infomercials.
Infomercials pay money and keep the stations alive.
That's why we like to support Josh from An Honest Host. If you contribute now, you'll get a 3-to-1 donation. So if you contribute $5, your total contribution will be $20 to the Internet Archive.
Yes, and also throw some cash towards Josh, who is hosting the HPR website.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I conflated the two.
Yeah, those two.
Do we have prizes we could offer people? We should offer... that's what this HPR New Year's Eve thing should be, is a pledge drive.
Pledge drive for the hackers.
I can offer a prize. Become rich and famous by putting your becoming an internationally renowned podcaster. Improve
there
your
you
CV.
I'll
play a song for whoever donates first. I will
go out to coffee with whoever donates if they are in Boston from January 24th to the 30th, I think is when I'm there. And it has to be in the evening when I'm not working. And within walking distance of my hotel.
Oh, yeah, okay. So,
Terms and conditions apply.
That's the stuff that we put in. Yeah, that we would put that in fine print were this an actual pledge drive.
Okay. Yeah, because really in the fine print, it's like, hey, you guys are all getting played here.
Always.
You're scratching that ticket. There's nothing behind any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We know what's going on. That's why we tune into Hacker Public Radio. So I'll just give it a little taste of the.
Oh, nice.
Little tunes coming out. We're on Hacker Public Radio. We don't know where to go on this station that we're doing right here. That's very clear. We don't know where to go from here on Hacker Public Radio. But if you donate now today, we'll give away our song for free and we'll fly away back to our home base on the planets. That one's for free.
So are you two guys...
This is really awesome, actually.
Thank you. What's up, Ken?
You're going to say something.
No, did you forget it immediately?
Are you two guys like members of an affiliated alien fleet or something?
We can't talk about it.
Yeah, we couldn't confirm or deny that.
And if we did, we'd have to do things.
Destroy planet.
Not this one, you fool. We'd have to press the big red button, not the one that brings you the Coke, the one that does the other thing.
Genuinely, that was a stroke of genius from, I really, hand on my heart, from the people of Earth. Thank whoever it was came up with that idea. Because, you know, I don't want to offend anyone, but I would much prefer a big red button in that office to be get me a Coke over let's annihilate the planet.
But you don't want to get them mixed up now, do you?
I think if they went to the trouble of making a big red button that gets the guy a Coke, they have hidden the other one somewhere where he can't get at.
Well, from what Wikipedia says, he carries a football, or somebody carries the football for them or something. I believe.
Is it just me, or is Android MTP just the greatest, crappiest protocol ever invented?
MTP in general? Why are you qualifying it with Android? Is it different from normal MTP?
Well, I've had to use it here on Android, so, and it is just a terrible, 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 terrible protocol.
Yeah, no, it is terrible. I think I had a... There was a line of video cameras, I think, that for a while that would only mount to MTP, and it was the absolute worst. I mean, I'm talking like early 2000s, probably. And yeah, I try to avoid it at all cost. That's why the KDE Connect. I don't know if you've seen that or if you. Yeah, that usually works pretty well for me. I don't know if it uses MTP because I think I just send myself stuff. Oh, maybe it's over Bluetooth because it's on my laptop.
So. Yeah, probably. But it is truly terrible. I've ended up having to put a hotspot on. A hotspot on and then put an SSH client and go SSHFS because it doesn't automatically refresh even the stuff on your. I'll create a directory and I can see it. I can connect on my phone. I can see it. I can connect with the Android tools. I can see it, but it doesn't appear. And then you reboot and then it kind of appears.
Wow.
And also,
I don't understand why they don't want people to access their files. I do not understand the logic of
that. Well, if you're going to do it, then, you know, SFTP seems to be able to handle it. Why can't you use a protocol that works?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either. Anyway, I'm planning on doing the show whenever I get it. Maybe I've done the show. Maybe that's it. That's all I need to talk about.
I don't think that counts.
Did you ever expand the file system on Android? To include the SD card?
I don't know. I have a mobile from work right now, and it has an SD card, and it sort of I can access the SD card from the phone. Is that what you mean? I didn't do anything. It just is there.
Yeah, there are like two options that you can initially use it as an SD card that you can put in and take out, or you can extend the internal
file
system. Now, I thought when that happens, when they were doing that they would do something like LVM or something, yeah?
Sure.
Because they said, you know, big warning, as soon as you do this, you can't, you know, the world is going to end. It's only ever going to work on this phone, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Okay, so I went, got a 64 gig card, put it in there, expanded, and I expected it to do that just thing. That thing.
Right. But yeah, my apps, it would all be one big file system. Yeah.
But turns out all they do is like they reformat it. I think EXT4. Don't know, asterisk, not 100% sure, and possibly encrypted in some way. But their integration is just a whole bunch of ugly symlinks still.
Oh, wow.
So you have, if you can't create, and then you have MTP or whatever that protocol is, that thing doesn't recognize the fact that if you create, it doesn't display the music folder, for example. So if you create, so you're looking in your, you see a combined view, you know, a fictitious, fake, lying view of what's on your SD card, and then you make a directory, but you can't make it because some symlink somewhere sees that that's already on the internal SD card, and it's just a mess. Absolutely horrible. Yuck.
Oh, that clears up a lot. I wrote NTP. I was like, what?
Yeah,
MTP.
Yeah.
MTP.
It's MTP. Yes. You wouldn't know it unless you'd had to deal with it, really.
Yeah, I was exactly. Like, that's not a 1, 2, 3. Hold on. Yeah.
No, MTP tends to work for me, okay? The date time protocol, that seems to be okay.
That's a show in itself. I'd love to get some of those guys on because there's a lot of duct tape involved in that protocol as well.
Oh, yeah, because you got satellites, you got terrestrial stuff, you got underwater stuff, you got radio, and you got...
And the different 8-bits and lower device, higher device, 4-bit computers, all sorts of weird stuff that the libraries have to support. I saw an interesting video on it at one point. Now what am I doing? YouTube.
That too, I put a secret space documentary that I think you should watch if you ever have the time.
I see it.
I see that you act it at it.
Isn't that a geeky response?
No, it's not too geeky for me. But who am I to say? I'm just an alien. This isn't even my real voice.
Cool.
You wouldn't
so how many episodes cipher. Have you? How many episodes have you posted so far? Just the two? I mean, well, I didn't mean
four.
That to mean.
There's another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, because I remember. Yeah, okay, I wasn't sure.
No, there's four that
and
are...
And two have hit the feed right now. Right. I don't, unlike some people, I do not listen in advance. I wait for episodes to actually be released. And yes. It bugs me, for the record, it bugs me when people... No, you don't, Ken. I know
I
you
do.
Don't.
Because I have only...
You
have
commented.
Only,
you commented on something before.
I have only
released.
Ever broken my rule, and that was the only time that I've done that has been when a new feed list came in and I needed to make sure that all the shows were in. That is the only time I have ever done that. And special dispensation was asked.
Wasn't asked of me.
It was on the list. I said, I need to download these. I normally
really?
Don't do
yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Oh, I didn't
oh,
even connect
yeah.
with that.
Way,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah. You phrased it in a way that was deliberately, you know, you were asking around the question. It was...
If
I call trickery.
I have a trickery in my arse. I was so tired doing that whole thing and so scared because once you start messing with a feed that's got 32 gigabytes
yeah,
of stuff behind it,
yeah, yeah.
Somebody sets up a portable Wi-Fi hotspot and then suddenly
yeah.
have a 32 gigabyte.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's something for the new aliens here, just tapping in through the Van Allen belt. So we like to go on that when we're communicating with the hackers on the public radios, we don't like to jump ahead to what's already been under review or
no, we don't processing. Review anything. Whoa, Baronelli. We do not edit. We do not review. We don't even listen to the shows until they come onto the feed. Very important. This is a peer-to-peer network. Anyone can post anything. There is nobody reviewing anything on this network. That's deliberately why those of us who are involved in it don't listen until anything goes into the feed. So if you want to say anything, you say it. We're not going to interrupt you. The only thing we do is check for spam.
Ah, okay. See, I for me, I would look at the calendar. And so I had this miscommunication actually with my alien brother.
Uh-huh.
Because he was saying, he was like, well, why are we going to, I was trying to get him to do one. What is now last night, but he was still recovering from his job, and he was like, why are we going to do another one when we've got so much we still have to, you know, produce and post? And I was like, no, we've got 4 out of 5 up there. I think we've done 6 now. We have 6, I believe. And the 5th one is completed. It just hasn't been posted. I was trying to get Rudiger to do the show notes so that he could have Ken beat him for the with the spans and the divs.
Man, that was just bad. You're making it out like that was possibly the second worst show notes that we have ever received.
Just only so second know. Worst? Come on, yeah, man. You guys worst. Can do better than that.
What was it?
With all the spans and the divs and the things, it's like something. The only thing I've seen worse was when somebody did their show notes in Microsoft Word and then did an export back in the day. Oh, God.
Okay. So to be clear, I've been pulling a lot of weight trying to pull Rudiger's arm. He's an older, arguably wiser alien. And I've been trying to pull him along here. And originally he was doing the production, post-production, because he had done podcasts before, and due to circumstances, et cetera, the production part was put on me. So for 4, I can't keep track. Like I said, this last month's been a little time.
Tough, yeah.
Time, space, dimensions are all blurred. But the thing is, it's okay.
And also, just for the record, bad show notes are still better than no show notes. So, of the 2 people here who I'm most annoyed with, you would be number 2. I am, of course, jesting, Klaatu.
No worries.
Although you did have show notes in there, they just were... What would have been interesting would be to get your history, you know, your bash history as you were doing it.
Yeah. That would be something, I reckon.
You're annoyed now, I can tell.
No, I guess I kind of
time, space, dimensions are all blurred. But the thing is,
that was funny. Because we just heard, him say time space was blurred again. That was really brilliant.
Van Allen belt, I'm telling you.
I know.
You don't believe me. It's true.
No, Ken, I think I just, I don't know that I agree. I guess when I want, show notes to me should be really, really helpful because I'm afraid, I guess I dislike putting stuff out on the internet that's kind of sloppy and like, oh, this is, you know, because I don't want people to go to those show notes and think, okay, I'm going to follow these and then not get from point A to point B.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
No, you are of course right. You are of course right. But I'm kind of spoiled because of Dave's show notes and the easiest. with their series on AUK. It's like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think those guys are planning on wrapping that up into a book at the end of the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think eventually the stuff that I talk about, I kind of in my head, I'm going to like write an article or a series of articles, whatever, blog posts, whatever. And so in my mind, I'm like, well, this is the audio version, and I'll get the written version out in some other place once it's ready. So
yeah, cool. And we can always go back and link to it, yeah. I'm only pulling your chain, so to speak.
Yeah.
2.3 volts, that's definitely dead. Okay. Yes, carry on.
I was just going to say, you know who I really miss from Hacker Public Radio is Foxfire. Does anyone remember Foxfire?
I use Firefox.
he was this great host who used to do really kind of rambling and sort of almost avant-garde episodes, which actually the Alien Brothers kind of reminded me of when I heard the first Alien Brothers episode. I was like, this is like Foxfire stuff.
Foxfire?
Yeah,
the host. Was it back in the Twit days? Twit days?
No. I mean, maybe. But, I mean, he was in the early hundreds in Hacker Public Radio as well. And then I sent him an email and was like, Foxfire, you are the best host ever. And then from that point on, he never released another episode. So I kind of, I'm not sure. I kind of, I, yeah.
I'm going through the complete episode guide. We don't have a, I presume it's a him, is it?
Yeah.
Don't have him on the complete episode guide?
I believe they're called comments.
Don't have it on the hosts, actually.
Look over in the left bar of Mumble, Ken. I just posted a sample episode. You are probably misspelling his. Yeah, his name is weird. It's, I could be saying it wrong. It is, but it's not how you. It's not. It's not how it sounds. It's not Foxfire. It's Foxfire.
As in ye olde Guy Fawkes, yeah, and fire from Days of Yore.
Yeah.
Wow, this is going back a while.
Yeah, like I say, it was a while ago.
So.
I used to do this old hack. That was awesome.
Oh, that's
stuff.
Right. That's right. I forgot about that series. Yeah.
That was
absolutely
awesome. Yeah.
He's gone. He's gone.
Well, his email's right there. Send him an email.
Well, I told you what happened last time I sent you an email.
Yeah, well, maybe if you send him an email now, he might
got to turn it back on. Yeah. Flip that bit again.
What happened?
He stopped releasing. After I emailed him to tell him he was my favorite host of all time, he then stopped releasing episodes.
Well, to be honest,
I guess the belt got him again.
Oh, no. Sorry, I was listening to the, it's reading the stuff that comes up in the thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
I can probably turn that off. Text-to-speech, yeah. Okay, there we go.
That gets old very quick.
Yes, it does.
I think that's for gamers, right? Like, people who aren't looking at their Mumble as they use it, I think.
I mean, that would be great because there are people that like to record shows and there's people that like to listen to shows and maybe people, you know, that is a good way that it could be split somehow where there could be some kind of submission, you know, where you would allow. And see, that's the other thing is that once you submit to Hacker Public Radio and you submit the show and with the show notes, that's it. There's no way to go back and change anything. So
yeah, you can email us and we'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think in an ideal, like if we had endless resources, I think the author of show notes could then go back in and edit them manually. But I mean, we're just talking about a completely. What's that?
Well, we do have a plan. There's a plan in place for a long time to do this, and we're actually a lot closer now than we would be. You know, originally we asked for your PGP key for to do that. And with your PGP key, then we would know that you were the person who we emailed, because that's all
that
we need to
beautiful.
Know.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
You were going. However, now we're looking at moving away from the database on the back end and going to, well, moving away from everything being a PHP MySQL LAMP stack and just being a flat, a Postgres database on the back end, driven by Git or whatever. And then we just push flat files out. And then if a file or a host, so then if you submit a show, we will post that show, but we would also update your page and pretty much everything else would remain the same. And
interesting.
There's no reason why we couldn't like have show notes submitted via like GitLab or whatever. So there's where you put your show notes or you submit your show notes via the thing and then they appear on GitLab and then you do a pull request back to update them.
That's
so
really slick.
Lots of options. But regardless, if you send us updates, we will put them in, no problem. We do that all the time.
Cool. Good to know.
# try not to overstress us either.
That's my fear, you know, like adding little things like, oh, I forgot to paste this URL in or something. I feel really silly trying to email you guys because your time is a little bit more valuable than just doing little things like that. So, yeah.
No, that's okay. What we might agree is if you just post them in the comments and just, you're the host and then say, please update the show notes, then we won't even post that as a comment. We'll just update the show notes.
Oh, yeah, that works.
You're coming up at 2 hours and 40 minutes into the podcast. You're here with Casper, Ken, Klaatu. We got Netminer.
Although, that sounds a bit professional now. I want to bring down the tone here.
Who's RWA? Is this a real person or is that a stream?
He's an infiltrator. He's the Sabu. And going back to PGP keys, where is Assange?
Oh, yeah. No one's ever really heard from him lately, huh? Maybe he's on, I don't know, he was
and a completely unrelated
noise.
I have to go and give the kids a toy that I just fixed. Back in a bit.
Oh, nice. I thought you were breaking toys, but...
No, cool. they collect during the year, and then on New Year's Day, I just go through all the stuff. That's code for, I am Julian Assange.
That's code for I've got to go feed him. He's in the basement.
Get out. Bring out the game. Okay, fine.
Oh, what movie? Oh, that wasn't Reservoir Dogs. That was
no, that was Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, yeah. Pulp Fiction, there we go.
RWA is a real purse.
I don't believe it. Who said that?
RWA.
Oh, okay, I believe it now.
From the city of Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
Oh, cool.
Okay, all right, confirm. All right.
I read that comment somebody put in the Etherpad. Yeah, we're funny.
Oh, he was just messing about. Hey, Gerald, shut it. All right, okay. Yeah. So let's see, where is Assange? Where in the world? It was linked to the Atlanta, potentially the airport shut down. I saw something interesting about Thomas Drake was wearing a Q pin on some documentary on Netflix that somebody posted. And they're thinking, maybe that's Q. They're all neither here nor there. But you are here with us, 2 hours and 42 minutes into the Hacker Public Radio Podcast, 101110 to you.
So are we supposed to welcome some... No, I guess not. We have to wait for the hour to tick over for that. Who's next? So Russia? Russia and Marshall Islands?
What's the R in... Or what does RWA stand for? Or can you divulge that information?
So my initials of my name. First name, Reg, R-E-G.
Okay. I thought you were like something with an attitude.
I was really wanting it to be that as well. Maybe it is Reg with an attitude.
That is yet to be seen.
No, well, could be. Just the old guy with an attitude.
speaking to Dad Dummy, who only likes to communicate via text, which is okay, because anonymity is a part of being a hacker. And I'm able to do this just because this is just a physical incarnation of my alien spiritual body here through the Van Allen belt. But was his Russia ties confirmed? If you're referring to mainstream media, Russia this, Russia that, I wouldn't believe any of it. I don't know what are others' opinions.
Yeah, I don't know what ties he's talking about really. I mean, what exactly is that? Like, what ties? Like, he's in collusion with them or something?
I mean, I know that they, oil riggers with attitude maybe. Yeah. Russia has a lot of oil. I know that Assange and the legal team, Sarah Harrison, they worked with Russia when Snowden was in Hong Kong. So I know that they were trying to find countries to get him to, but then it ended up he went to Russia. But there wasn't any collusion as far as I know, unless you're listening to mainstream media. Family doesn't cotton, so he can't speak.
I don't know what cotton means.
Is it like you're far down south in the States?
I don't think he's in the South. I know him, but I don't think he's in the South.
Cotton means to liken to, be similar.
Is that something you've heard, or are you just doing that from context? Like, I mean, is that a saying?
That's what I know. It means to cotton to, means to like, to come up against.
Oh, okay.
Next to.
I had not heard that one before.
Okay, so speaking to what Dodd Dummy just said there, so they're painting everything with Russia this, Russia that. I guess this is a Russia discussion, the new McCarthyism. So if you are critical of the Democratic Party or politics or anything, you're Russian, I guess. And Julian Assange to take to, cotton is to take to, okay. I got it because it sticks and I don't buy any of it. We're told that he's still in the Ecuadorian embassy. One would maybe think, but again, we're going back to PGP keys. He hasn't released anything, and then there was that Twitter outage at the same time. There was the huge police buildup around the embassy. As far as Russia collusion, I think that's just another Democratic talking point to say, oh, well, WikiLeaks, you know, hacked the Democratic servers, which I think anybody with technical knowledge would understand that anyone would understand that the files and the copy rates at which the files, if you're going to do a forensic investigation, as anybody with any security background would do to find out about it, you'd see that, oh, it was actually copied at from a USB drive. There's no way that that could be hacked, or, you know, the files. And so Seymour Hersh had the dig, and he was recorded secretly about this. And then he has never said that he didn't say this. But now we're talking about Seth Rich, and then you're getting into people that get killed and they call it a robbery, yet no wallet or money was taken. And so you don't want to get killed yourself. Don't talk bad about Hillary. Now I'm on the list.
Julian, no. And also, leave Tattoo server alone. Hi, I'm back.
Jeez, please don't mess with my server.
No, that's the last thing we need. How's it going? Should we upgrade? I've got a new Pi here if you want one.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
like Pi 3. Pi 3 or whatever? Oh, wow.
Do you have a Pi 3? If you can send me over the image for it, we can do an upgrade.
I don't have a Pi 3, but I don't think it needs an upgrade anyway.
Okay. Everything working out? Is that where you're doing the open thingy tunnel?
Yes, I think I did do the client on that one.
Okay, very nice. Good to know.
Referring to VPN, the open VPN?
Yeah.
Yeah, Platoon's just done a series of shows with pathetic show notes, and I may have mentioned it.
Yeah, no, I did see the show
the
notes.
The show notes are fine, Platoon. There's enough to be able to jump off to something. But I did notice, though.
The VPN is gonna get typed up, honestly. That one is significant enough, I think, to truly type it up and make it a good thing to put on the internet. Because I honestly used to tear my hair out trying to find an article
so brutal,
on that subject. Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible.
We read
I
out
just
your comment,
do it justice.
And it really is just, you go to somewhere and it's either you do this, you click this button and it works, or
right.
you make and then you cert and then you know, you
yeah,
have the
exactly.
option of, oh, God.
It's just, I can't stand the way people write instructions on the internet. I mean, it's great that the internet is there and that people can put instructions on the internet. It's just every time I find instructions, they're horrible. It's just so aggravating.
It's almost as if someone didn't write them up correctly.
I just think they're badly done. By and large,
yeah.
they don't do all the steps, or they go
yeah.
from, and we'll start with 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, and that follows that 2 plus 2 is equal to 3. And then, you know, it's a simple step to go forward to the square root of 74 pi times f with the function of minimine. What the hell? How
yeah,
do you
exactly.
go from that to that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, 2 plus 2 is not 3, it's 4.
It's 5.
It's 5. I meant 5, sorry.
Hail to the thief, baby. Is Brian connecting?
Brian has connected. We're a mere 9 minutes away from a Russia New Year.
A Russia invasion. Better get ready.
Cool.
Maybe Snowden will join. Because he's, you know, he's joined pretty much every other...
That is the tension I really do not want on the network. Thank you.
Yeah, really.
Snowden attention?
Any attention from that sort of area. Thank you.
We need
enough
to stay
problems.
Pseudonymous.
Obscurity is awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Brian.
Yeah,
are
that's
you,
worked out great for Microsoft, right? Security through obscurity, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so let's just do that.
Oh, Brian has no microphone. That's why he is not responding.
Oh. Sorry, Brian.
It's okay, Brian. I will speak. I will write. I will read anything that you type into the mumble text box. Wait a minute. Upon prior clearance. Not anything. I'm not going to just read off anything. I have
well,
my reputation.
Bummer.
It's not a good one from what Ken... Ken blame...
I just saw lots of opportunities there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that could have gone.
Minute it left my mouth, I realized what I'd said.
Yeah. So you work in a, oh, okay, okay. Say no more. Okay. Movie industry plus computer industry plus New Zealand equals Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. I mean, it's scenic. And hang out with wizards and smoke with them, I guess.
There was there is production happening up north as well on other stuff. I think even Game of Thrones, I think, is just the digital stuff. But I mean, there are other shows anyway that happen up north. But yeah, pretty much if you're in production work, you're doing Hobbit stuff. I guess not anymore, but you were.
Certain aliens may also have an insider in other entertainment industries that may or may not have heard about certain things before certain things came to the wide stream.
Oh, can you make it any more confuse?
I'm pretty clear on what he's talking about.
If you know, you know. If you don't know,
yeah,
you don't.
I mean, if you don't, yeah.
Like, there's certain things in the entertainment industry that everybody knows, and all you have to do is know one person that and you're like, and know the whole thing. That's all I can say. I gotta take a break. You guys talk about me and how horrible I am and how I'm derailing everything here while I'm away.
No, please. No. You're only an amateur at derailing.
As I leave 6 minutes before we hit Russia, we'll be right back here on Hacker Public Radio. Please donate to Josh at An Honest Host. Be back in a bit.
Tattoo, I would like to thank you in person for something.
Oh, no problem. Oh, wait, for what?
Yes, you should always ask for what. When you were talking in one of your shows about MATS, and that MATS is just analog computing, that was profound.
Yeah.
I just suddenly lost my fear for MATS at that that particular second is when I lost my fear for MATS. Thank you.
Wow, okay. Yeah, cool. I think that was in one of the gaming episodes, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Because
I've been doing a lot of maths for studying for the ham radio, which I don't have time to do, but
okay. You know,
I'm still browsing around, and it was scaring me a lot. And then I just, okay, well, actually, a lot of this stuff is just formulas, and formulas are just computer programs, and here's a rule. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, the thing that taught me that was a class that I was taking at work on 3D matrix math or something for 3D modeling and stuff. And like, you wouldn't think that would encourage me at all in maths, but seeing them, like the teacher, sort of write the equations on the board and then plug in values, it was just such an eye opener for me, because I thought that's a function, like that's a computer function. Only the computer is my brain, and as long as I follow these rules, it'll all work out into the right answer.
Yeah.
Which somehow I always screwed up. But anyway, let's not dwell on that part.
No. And this is exactly why I got into computers, because I don't trust myself with, you already heard my 1+1 or whatever I did.
Right, yeah.
Because I can't trust myself. So therefore, I sit down and I write a computer and I verify that the formula is correct. I have somebody check it, and then I can check all the values, not just some. And that has actually stood to me, because then I notice copy and paste errors that other people have made because, yeah, well, you know, I can trust my brain. Well, 99% of the time you can, whereas I can't trust my brain 70% of the time, so I check everything. However, that's by the by. Matrices was something that I did really enjoy when I was learning them. One of the few things that I could get my head around.
Yeah, I'm going to have to revisit that topic. I didn't really quite get what was being taught in the course that I took, but I feel like that was partly the method of teaching the course. I didn't feel I think I need to revisit it.
All depends on the teacher. You can be lucky or you can be unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, like, the teacher was really good, but he offloaded a bunch of the lessons onto fellow students, which is a weird way to teach a class. And so you ended up getting sort of incorrect information that he would then amend at the end of the session, and it was just really confusing.
Oh dear.
That's typical in the States, in that the professor's never there, it's always a teaching assistant. So
that strikes me as very odd.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard from people in the States that the professors are never there. They're in their higher frat bro fraternity, also called academia, smoking their pipes and, you know, saying how great their papers were and everything, and having their TAs actually teach.
Now you just, I can just see John Cobb blowing himself up there, trying to respond. One of our hosts is a university professor, and from his shows, I think he's very much involved in the class.
In the 1% class of professors and their academia.
Could very well be, yes.
Getting paid by foundations and Carnegies and Rothschilds.
Just one second, I've got a
further that, yeah,
child issue further here that I need to deal with.
I mean, I avoid higher education, but if someone's going to give me a free class, I will always take a free class. And that after dropping out initially, all the classes that I've taken since have been paid by someone else. So I don't know. Sometimes it's a waste of my time, I guess. But free knowledge, I don't know. It's worth it.
I'm glad you dropped out and tuned in here on Public Radio.
Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. Is it New Year in Russia yet? Let's do a time check here.
Oh, there it is. Russia's now in 2018.
Yep. There it was.
They beat us again.
Darn it.
And by us,
it must be a conspiracy.
I mean the U.S.
The U.S. Yeah, they didn't beat New Zealand. Nobody beats New Zealand.
Nobody beats New Zealand. Also, heard of Courtney Barnett?
No.
She's from the mainland there and from Australia. I appreciate her music. I think she's good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't really get a whole lot of Australian music over here lately. It's mainly, I think everything is basically just everyone imports from America. It's just like nonstop. Local stuff is very hard to find unless you look for it.
So it's mostly American music?
Yeah, like a lot of American music. I was really sort of disappointed.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Ken, is there a local scene where you are? Like, or do they import a lot of culture from America?
Yeah, it's becoming more and more. There are quite a lot of techno comes from here.
Right. That's kind of almost the birthplace of techno in a way, huh?
It actually is. And you know what? I found out why that was. Because Philips did a lot of the initial chips for it. And they promoted a lot of it. A lot of that's a lot of people down in Eindhoven got into the scene. And then it spread into Germany and around. So it's still a big thing. And of course,
Brian,
you've got a lot of... I think in every country, in Ireland as well, you had a lot of local music that would be very specific, as in, I think a lot of, probably offend a lot of Dutch people, but I'm equally going to offend a lot of Irish people with the sentence afterwards. There's a lot of guys who do, you know, they, you get quite a lot of Oompa Oompa music around the winter for skiing time, but you also get Dutch music tends to be very formulaic, starting off slow and then building up and into a crescendo and then orchestra. Yeah, it's like as if somebody's just plugged in a formula. It's kind of irritating. And then Irish music, not the Irish music like the U2s and the stuff that actually gets out, but there's an awful lot of country and Western music in Ireland that, you know, people would never have heard of from people who have never been to America. And, you know, they'll start off, I was born and bred in Texas when I never left Cavan. I'm not wrong with country and Western music, but
got them hacker radio blues.
Oh yeah. Can feel it. Country. Elvis.
So I need to go in a few minutes to have dinner.
So okay. Are you gonna leave us unsupervised? Do you trust them?
This whole thing has nothing to do with me. Thank you very much.
Ken has to shoot down the idea of being like the owner of HPR like at least twice a week, right?
Yeah, exactly. Some people think
at three minutes on the hour, you will hear Ken say he's not the main contributor.
No, I contribute a lot, but I don't. I'm not
main administrator.
No, I'm not the administrator either. That's Josh.
The not the one with the big stick for the divs and the spans.
Yeah, that'd be me.
Coordinate. You are kind of. Yeah, I don't know what term actually. I was going to say coordinator, but even that volunteer sounds a little bit more
amusing.
Yeah, I guess volunteer is the right word for it.
Our dear leader.
I have no say in what goes on, other than what other people, the same say as everybody else. I probably will have more of an opinion, but if I'm doing that, I tend to do it from here's the opinion as an admin, and here's my own personal opinion, which is not always clear to people either. So I found it best not to actually have an opinion. It saves hassle. Okay, I've got to go for dinner.
Talk Enjoy. To you later.
Bye.
I completely missed the end of that. But he said his opinion was not clear, and then he said something. What happened?
I think he said that he has no opinion.
Which is an opinion.
No, it's a statement.
Depends on your opinion. Yeah. Waxing philosophical here on Hack of Public Radio at 5 minutes past Russian New Year's. So what's new? What's the word on the street? What's going down? It's going out and down in the orgs and the init D's and the system D's, and what's the lowdown?
I think the lowdown is that a lot of people don't have microphones on their computers. That's what I'm getting from people signing in.
RWA has a microphone, but that's Dot Dummy is. He's got cotton mouth or something, and RWA is here. He was here at one time.
RWA uses his microphone judiciously.
Yes, unlike Casper here on Hackapulpa Green.
I mean, I guess, yeah, as long as you keep talking, like in terms of radio, I guess that's really the main thing.
Yeah, you don't want the dead air, Barry. Dead air, Barry's. You don't want those. We got to keep it live. Got to keep it streaming. Gotta keep it flowing. What it's all about.
Absolutely.
The cast. Cast of pods. Tasty pods. Casting them out. One by one. Country after country. Oh boy, what's next? Norfolk, Iceland, Kingston. Norfolk Island.
Kingston. I don't know. Norfolk Island, I've probably heard of. Kingston. I'm trying to picture what that is.
Kingston town, down by Jamaica Beach, boy.
Pretty sure it's not that Kingston.
Well, maybe we should look it up, Merson.
Yeah, okay. Apparently it's a small Pacific island located between Australia and New Zealand. Oh, well, you'd think I would have heard of it or something, but yeah.
Well, if there's no movies being produced there, then you are forgiven.
Well, you know, I mean, people do travel for holiday to all those little islands sort of in the Pacific, but I never hear about Norfolk Island. I hear about Fiji a lot. I hear about Vanuatu, which I'd never even heard of before. So there's a couple that have come to light since moving here, but Norfolk Island is not one of them. Must not have a good tourist industry.
Or maybe it's owned by Larry Ellison.
Could be, yeah.
Or Zuckerberg.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a new vassal state.
Well, that's the new thing, right? Is the those independent countries that are just floating, you know, I guess oil rigs or whatever, where they microstates, that's what they call them, microstates.
I was happy to hear that Trump has lifted the ban on offshore oil drilling. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let the oil flow. Down the river in the water that you drink. Rocket fuel is what you're drinking now. All the way to Pennsylvania. On the pad with the fracking. Yeah! Let's frack the pads. Frack the pads. Fracking now. It's fracking awesome. Yeah. Alright. So, Kletu, me and you, I've got it penciled in for January 5th. Or January 6th, your time, is that right?
Sounds likely. Could be.
I'm sorry, I meant on the 10059 Delta Foxtrot Whiskey Tango. I got you penciled in on that.
Okay. I'm just looking at a calendar. trying to figure out if I actually, I might have double booked myself. I'll have to email you or email someone else to change that.
At 10 minutes past the hour, we've learned that Klaatu is in high demand for the casting. High demand.
No, it's just I'm really bad at scheduling. That's all. What, did I give you a time for that? Did I propose a time?
You gave me, I think we were discussing time zones, and I mean, I can appear, you know, in any time zone at any time, in any physical form, shape that you wish, but it's just a matter of your time. Time of your choosing.
I will most likely email you with better details when I'm actually somewhat concentrating on the subject.
Okay. We'll take that offline.
Offline.
You're offline and
online
on,
and yet
on
offline.
A different channel.
There you go. Yeah.
Different protocol. So oil workers, no offense to oil workers. I want oil workers to be safe. And oil is an important part of our industry. I'm not sure that it has to be necessarily.
Pretty sure it doesn't have to be. Like by sort of definition of what is necessary, I'm pretty sure it's not necessary.
I'm pretty sure it's a finite resource that is going the way of the dinosaur, pun intended.
I mean, that's the thing. Humans are so ingenious. We can do all kinds of things, and we still can't like get past our oil addiction. I'm really confused by this.
It's because of the money involved. And
yeah, I guess it's not an oil addiction. It's the addiction to all of the money that already exists in oil.
It's the contract addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's hesitance to change. If you look at Germany as a great example, they've gone to solar. Almost, I think they've overtaken. I mean, sometimes they're like outproducing. If you look in Australia, I think there was just a thing with their wind turbines were able to kick in like 20 milliseconds, or it was some new breaking record. I'll put it in the show notes here. But Tesla's big battery factor, battery farm out there, was able, something happened, maybe some alphabets took down some other alphabets in Australia, and then, but Tesla's wind turbine batteries were able to kick in. And
interesting. Had not heard about that.
Yeah. I'll bring it up.
I'm kind of interested, or I'm kind of surprised. I mean, New Zealand does a lot of hydro power because we've got a lot of water here. But I mean, here in Wellington, at least, we have so much wind, and I'm really sort of constantly surprised that we don't have more turbines. I mean, there is a turbine that I can see from my window, but I mean, I would just expect to see fields and fields of turbines. The northerlies and southerlies coming off of the ocean, I mean, the wind is just really powerful here.
Experience pain. Yes, those that are resistant to change are doomed to perish. Well, the pain is great enough. Yeah, it's. I mean, the pain is great. Are we not feeling the pain? Are there not refugees fleeing countries because of this thing that scientists call climate change? Yeah.
People don't really acknowledge that that's why people are feeling pain, though.
Well, yeah, but it's just to further the agenda, right? Of the old the penguin. The big penguin with the I think Halliburton has a lot of investment in oil already, so we'll have to get Batman to take out the penguin and hang him by the by his bootstraps over the boiling acid and whatever. Yeah, we are just now feeling the pain, I believe, is what. Yeah.
Very. Yeah.
See, that's the alien mind.
Yeah, you anticipated that.
I was going forward in time. You go backwards, forwards. I mean, I know how this whole podcast is going to go. I just, you know, I'm just participating. Just, you know. So, you know, it's whatever. Yes, let's change. Linux gaming, great example. Thank you. I'm actually glad you brought that up. That can get us out of the oil, out of the muck and the sludge, and back into some geeky topics. When I was going through a job change, I had completed my one degree and was getting another degree, and I kind of self-imposed a challenge to myself. I had a friend. Actually, that might be a good podcast, is how to get these Windows guys off of Windows and onto Linux for gaming. That was something, that was a barrier that I ran into. That's a great point, because you have to get, you know, you got to deal with the drivers. And I think the only thing I was able to get running game-wise was like Postal or something that was built for like, although isn't Steam now,
Steam. So, I mean, Steam is on Linux, and then there's a bunch of games that you can get via Steam that run on Linux. But then whether it's the games people want, I don't know.
But then Steam's a closed source thing too, so it's another proprietary.
Okay, but this is okay. So I've often thought, and the whole game issue for me has often been something that I've thought about probably too much, but. Like games being open source, I'm not sure how much I really care about games being open source. While the knowledge contained within the programming of a game is important, the data output of a game is basically the same no matter what the user, right? I mean, I think of games as being more like an appliance. You know, it's like not really a. It is software. It is a program, but I mean, it's not something that. Like the end result of my game is the exact same as everyone else's game. You know, it's always basically the same input and output. Does the source really matter to me? I'm not convinced that it does.
So you're saying you're making a philosophical argument against gaming?
No, I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I'm trying to make a philosophical. I'm trying to make more of an argument against gaming needing to be open source. Yeah, for me to feel comfortable with it. And all of this is kind of all theoretical for me anyway, because I don't.
You're not a gamer.
I don't really game that much. I mean, I do in the analog world, but I don't really video game that much. So I feel like I'm probably not speaking fairly. I mean, the thing about gaming that should be open source, I think, is if for cultural purposes, right? Because people, I mean. You were just talking about Quake and Doom and Duke Nukem and stuff like this. So people know these games and they feel attached to those games, and those games become a representation of a time in their life.
Yes.
Like it's nostalgic. Yes. So yes. If those things go away, then that's unfair to that's their culture that is now being wrapped up in closed source, and I don't approve of that. So I think eventually games should be opened simply to preserve the culture of them.
As they all are eventually. I mean, you can run Doom. So there's the argument there that you'll just have to wait 10 years or so.
Yeah, for someone to like emulate the platform upon which they run. And I'm kind of okay with that.
And even then, it might still be illegal. Like, I mean, take Nintendo, for example. Yeah. You know, you can't legally do any... emulation Nintendo. I mean, they might have a sanctioned app or something. I don't keep up with that, but you know.
And that bugs me. Yeah, the fact that's I guess getting into the whole copyright issue. But yeah, I mean, there's just the fact that you're not allowed to emulate this, but we're all going to turn a blind eye, and there's going to be this huge gray area where we're all like, we know that it's happening and we know that it's okay, but. Technically it's illegal. It's just so stupid. It's like at some point we just all have to agree it's okay now.
That goes to money.
But I mean, it's stupid because they're not even making money off of this stuff, you know? Like if I emulate, I don't know, Super Mario Brothers 1 right now, you know, it's not like they're selling it anywhere else as far as I know. I mean, I know that they're selling Mario Brother things, but you know, like I don't know. It's so stupid.
I mean, Disney's, I think, the biggest example, because after 50 years, things are supposed to enter the public domain in the States, I believe.
Yeah, I think 70, but whatever. Yeah.
But so the mouse should be in the public domain.
Yeah, that constantly amazes me how they keep getting that loophole. But I mean, they're huge. They're Disney. They are absolutely. I mean, I think people. Fail to see how to realize just how big Disney is at this point, you know, with everything that they, I mean, basically all entertainment is Disney at this point.
I think it's going to be between Amazon and Disney.
Yeah.
I think that those are the two
that will be left in the end. It'll be me, Klaatu versus Disney and Amazon.
Yeah, that's the post-apocalypse right there.
Yep. You heard it here first.
We'll technically have DODD dummy, but he won't be able to speak to us. He'll just be texting us. So.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer to rage against the machine if I were to do anything. But that's a, you know. Again, we had a pirate on here earlier. Were you here for the pirate?
No, I missed the pirate. Did he talk like a pirate or?
He did. Yeah, he was only on briefly. I think it was at the end of his shift on the ship.
Ah.
So he was kind of mumble, but he was talking about steam engines and you can look up in the show notes.
That's handsome pirate. Yep.
Yeah. So
I know him.
Yeah. So he was on for a little bit and I think he was talking about kind of the alienation that one gets when you're so involved in computers and the Matrix. If you know, are you IRL or AFK?
Yeah, that is a really good point. I guess I don't really. Most of my social interaction is over the computer, so I really don't differentiate that much. But at the same time,
You would use AFK.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you watched The Pirate Bay AFK?
No.
No show notes. Coming at you. That, I believe, are you familiar with the movie Easy Rider?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I've heard some alien of other generations refer to that as the movie of their generation.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that aliens of next generations would consider the Pirate Bay AFK as the movie of our alien generation. And it's free. I thought it's a great example of how films can be produced from like Kickstarters and stuff like that. I think that's a great thing. But yeah, the whole movie was produced from a Kickstarter because everybody loves the Bay. So people chipped in with their Bitcoins and whatnot. So a guy made a movie, and he followed the guys around, and I will say no more because you got to watch the movie.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've opened it in a tab, and everybody knows what that means.
That's tabular.
Totally tabular, dude. Yeah, eventually I might actually watch it.
Yeah, you really should.
I mean, I don't know. I think you've put in like three hour long videos that I'm supposed to watch. But
I'll talk to you on 2019.
Exactly. Yeah.
Once we've caught up. See, that's the thing with aliens. We can watch everything concurrently. Actually, it's just uploaded to our minds, so we don't even.
Yeah, know. Yeah. It's not really a problem.
It's an advantage.
Brian says super feedback on. Oh wait, what's he talking about? Super feedback on the laptop. Must have taken a fall to mini. I'll need to go swipe a phone device. And phone is in quotes. I'm not really sure.
He doesn't want to use the eye. No eyes.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So that's code.
I think.
Yeah, could be.
When the sun comes up. It's not a dumb phone.
Nah, it's a smartphone.
It's a smartphone. It's with a dumb operator.
No.
No.
Could be. I don't know the operator.
No. I was just kidding. Just a joke. Just a joke. Off the cuff. No. I was. That's something that that I've discussed with other generations, generations above generations, that they see people in today's society. You know, this was actually mentioned on some social medias that, you know, what if. Imagine that there was a drug that made people look at their hands all the time, and it was like overtaking the nation, and there's this like huge problem, right? Imagine if that was a drug. Well, I mean, that's essentially what smartphones, you know, are.
Yeah, I can't stand the term smartphone. It's just such a horrible term. It's just a stupid term, you know? Like, why is it smartphone? I don't understand.
I think they use that term because the Japanese, when they first invented it, they called it a hand job. So that didn't translate well.
That doesn't translate well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You still here?
It's unfortunate. No.
No.
We left. Dipped out.
How was dinner?
Dinner was excellent. Excellent because it's the one meal that the kids actually eat, all of them. They all eat stuff, but not necessarily the same stuff.
Yeah, you know, you get what you can, you take what you can get.
Eat the small when it's there. Yeah.
Exactly. Right, I'm going to go have a coffee. I assure you approve.
I do.
Do we? I approve. Do.
Go look up tattoo shows.
Is it like how to mainline coffee?
Yes, that's exactly what
they're far off it.
Free base and coffee beans and yeah.
I think we have a series on coffee, don't we? Beverages or at least.
I think possibly. It sounds right.
Okay, I would say carry on.
I would say a bug. Speaking to Dodd Dummy, I would call them bugs or insects. That's what I would call phones. They're just bugs. That terminal was already used. The terminal. Terminal. Are we talking about airplanes? Are we talking about a movie with Tom Hanks? Talking about Manline?
I wonder why they were talking about, or why they did call terminals terminals. I mean, terminal is the end of something, so I get that. But, I mean, I would think that client or workstation or something like that would be more logical.
I didn't see what was wrong with hand job. I mean, doesn't everybody love that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was fine. Although it's not good because you can't give the smart bugs.
Smart bugs. Yeah. That's why not?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Smart bugs. Smart bugs.
All right. Hey, it's long as it.
Oh, geez. Woke up Gerald. Turn on 8:30 a.m. in the morning. Oh, hey, nope. No, that's not the time. That's not the time. Where are we crossing into? Norfolk Island?
No, we did that already. I think we must be coming up on, I think, didn't we? I think
is this
we already
Australia
did that.
Australia and
up
Broken
next
Hill?
Is Australia. Yeah, I think.
Broken Hill? Smart bugs. Smart bugs. I like that. I'll put that in there. Hey, see. Yeah. Smartphone to smart bugs. If you'll remember in The Matrix, first thing they got to do to get Neo out is they got to squash that bug, right? Because that's the plant. They got to kill it so they can rip him out.
I've actually never seen those movies, any of them.
There's no need to show note those. Terminal Velocity.
I think that was actually a movie. Neuromancer is worth a read, though. Neuromancer. I've heard of it. I've not read it. Is that the one by Gibson, or is that the one by the other guy, Stevenson? Or did I make both of those names up?
Gibson. You got it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever read anything by him. I've read something by the other guy and was really not impressed, and it kind of turned me off of cyberpunk for a long time. And then I got back into it once I found Shadowrun.
Also, I think it deserves an honorable mention because Rutiger offered me the book, but I was already had the book offered to me and already owned it. It was Cryptonomicon.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one as well. I think the one I read was Snow Crash. It's all coming back to me now, Snow Crash. I didn't really like it, but maybe I was just not in the right place for it. Maybe I need to go back and read more of this stuff.
Yeah, Cryptonomicon, I've talked to many, many, many a geek, and they all say that they've all been, oh, have you read Cryptonomicon? Oh my God, you gotta read Cryptonomicon. But it was prophetic in many ways because it was written before a lot of those exact things happened that they talk about in the book. So it was probably written by a fellow alien that could travel through time and space.
Ah, right. Hey, Pegwall. I mean, Mr. Worley.
Hey, Klaatu, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah,
how are you?
I've been here sooner, but I was focused on beating Bloodborne, so.
That's a game, I presume? Yes?
Yes. Have you ever Dark Souls.
Okay. I played like one of them for a little bit. I'm not much into gaming. I don't game anymore. That's how I got my start, but I don't do that anymore.
I picked up Dark Souls not knowing what it was back for PS3, and I sat down and started playing it, and I just couldn't understand why I kept dying. And I kept playing and I kept playing because I thought, well, it's probably just me. So I just kept playing and I kept playing and playing and playing. And then finally, I had to stop for the evening, and I kind of looked up what it was on the internet. And yeah, I was like, oh, okay, this is a thing. This is an experience that I'm having. So yeah, it was good. I had fond memories of it, but boy, was it. Yeah, it lives up to its reputation.
I'd never played a Dark Souls game before this one. And I started out, and the first enemy I saw was like, Werewolf, it's half dead already. I'm going to punch it. No, it murdered the crap out of me.
Oh, we lost Clyde too. It's okay. We've had some interruptions here and there. I had some Van Allen belt radioactive waves that interrupted my transmission earlier. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Van Allen radiation belt is where UPS routes all of my packages through.
It's the quickest way. Yeah. DHL, on the other hand, they go through the center of the earth.
DHL, enjoy getting your packages in 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's a whole thing with DHL. I actually saw on the Blue Marble, there was a DHL in the States. Wait, weren't they not allowed to operate anymore because of some kind of import-export thing that shouldn't have been going on? Or I don't know.
I have no. But the last time I had to use them, I'd ordered camera flashes off of Amazon, and it took 2.5 weeks to get to my house.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a good acronym someone can make up for DHL, like Does Hate Letters or something, I don't know. The Dead Letter Office. That's not, or DHL, like AO Hell.
Don't have it, lost it.
Perfect. Yeah. All right, we're checking in. Three hours and 37 minutes into the cast here. And that's how we're doing it. Keeping it strong, keeping it live. But two, got intercepted. But Mr. Worley is here. Tell us something that we... Tell us, please. Extol virtues and wisdom upon us.
Oh, geez, man. I don't really have much right now.
Can you speak where you're broadcasting your transmissions from or where you may be?
Anyone that listens to the Linux Link Tech Show will know that I'm in Indiana, and I'm 31. Yeah, been doing Linux podcasts for like a decade now.
Nice. So you're seasoned.
Yeah, I guess.
In the Linux world, as my career has gone this way or that way, it's ebbed and flowed as to whether I'm working on Linux or proprietary software. So, yeah, I was starting to say earlier, I'd imposed a challenge because I'd come from a Windows background. But I had a very good friend that was extolling the virtues of Ubuntu. He's like, oh, it's great. And so I tried that out, and that was my first. What I wanted to be able to do was to do everything I did with a PC or with a Windows with Linux. And with Ubuntu, it makes it, now especially, it makes it very easy. But back in 2004, 2003, it wasn't as easy. So you had to get a little bit of, get a little bit into the code to do some things, even just like to get the mouse to work. So where do you see the Linux? Most of the devices on the interwebs are all running Linux or some derivation of. Where is it going next?
Well, if things are to be believed, what with quantum computing, then that'll be the next big hurdle, I think. Don't ask me about quantum computing, because I don't know anything about it.
I looked into it once. Made no sense to me.
It's so the theory, as I understand it, is that it is a way of computing where it's not just a one or a zero, but you can have it being both at the same time, or
I like that explanation. Yeah, so it's not necessarily binary.
Yeah, it's a whole different animal. And the other thing, as it goes to encryption, is that the reason quantum computing is on the horizon is because they're working on types of devices where that's the whole underlying mechanics of quantum computing is that if it's observed, then it changes. So there's like no way to change it. I'm not a math scientist. I don't understand these things. But that's essentially, if I could boil it down, yeah, it's not a one or a zero. You can have like any kind of combination. It's crazy, but that makes it really easy to crack any type of encryption that's in ones and zeros. It's just like, hey.
Yeah, ultimately, it's either one of those two values. Yeah, so you're going to,
So with a quantum computer, it's like, forget about it. Encryption is not even, you know, it's invalid.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, though. I really like the idea that everything can be broken down into binary decisions, you know, like not just in computing, but in real life. Like, if I can just crack this code of reality, it's either a one or a zero. There's security there.
You're going to drive yourself insane.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You're like, oh, everything's black and or white.
Yeah, yeah. And it's completely not true. Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to get more AFK time. In my opinion.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Quantum computing and or reality.
Oh dear.
I'd say.
Did I just read the show?
No.
I'm reading DODDD Dummies comments.
Glad I'm not the only one that can't pronounce his name.
There's no way to pronounce that name. I wish he would stop. Does that on purpose at this point.
Because you'd be a dummy to try to announce it.
Exactly.
Guys. Also, he did pronounce it properly one time on one of his shows.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, it was back on the original Unix thing. I cannot remember. You know what I have done, though, is, and nobody's actually noticed this, I have taken the intro of all the hosts and... Every host has got a specific WAV file that they pronounce their name. And if you go to the HPR main website, the very first page, you will see a thing that says Meet the Team. Have you ever played that?
I think I tried. You're talking about that the web file or the file right up at the top of the main page?
Yeah, the one that's under Meet the Team, please, and then please help out tagging the show.
I think I did try to play that once and it didn't play, so then I gave up and never went back up to it. DODD Dummy. That's ridiculous. That's stupid.
Team tagging orders.
Klaatu, have you ever went back and listened to like some of the first things you were on or did?
Oh good gosh, no.
I did that a while back, actually.
Nobody should do that ever.
Agreed.
And it was some of the early episodes of Linux Cranks, and I'm listening to it. I'm like, I didn't recognize my own voice. Like I'm sitting there, I was like, who is that person with the strange, not quite Southern accent? Who is this person? Then I'm listening more, and I heard myself, I think it was Peter go, "Hey Peggy," and I said yes, and talking again. I was like, oh, where did I get that accent from?
Why are you Mr. Wirely? Have we covered this already?
It's just the name I've been going by everywhere else online. It's more of my public kind of thing, you know, not just the Linux community kind of name.
It wouldn't have anything to do with the site that Dan put up, would it?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I don't know about that, Ken Fallon.
My God, okay. Sorry, carry on, yes, go.
Wait, we have to say hi to Shadow. Maybe Shadow doesn't have a microphone on his computer. This is basically the evening of no one having a microphone on their computer.
What's this evening thing you're talking about, Mr. Terrestrial Person?
Oh, early morning, sorry.
Mid-afternoon, surely. I was wondering how to practically force everybody to go to UTC.
Yeah, well, me and Taj and Pokey and X1101 were talking about that on a Dev U Random show.
Yeah, I heard.
And I don't even think it's UTC that we need. I just think it's just a standard. Like, it's a number at a certain point of the rotation of the globe, and we all use that number. And if we don't want to lose our numbers, then we could use something else. We could use a letter.
It like shouldn't actually be numbers at all. It should be banana time. It's
what's banana? I don't know what that is.
Like the Chinese, it's the year of the monkey. It's just a thing.
Okay, sure. I'll go with that.
It's alpha followed closely by beta.
Yep.
Thingy. Now, not even necessarily in any order.
Peanut butter and jelly
time.
Yeah,
it's peanut butter and jelly time.
Why is Mr. Whirly texting now? Your microphone works. You can speak.
Okay, because can you hear me now?
I didn't want to interrupt.
We can hear you, Shadow.
Awesome.
Oh, please do. I interrupted you.
Look, Ken Fallon, you're a beautiful human being. I dare not do such a thing.
No, Ken Fallon is my online persona that I very carefully hone. If you knew me in real life, you'd realize what a dickhead I am.
I stand by my statement.
Mm-hmm. No comment.
Nope. Is there a... Hey, Casper, can you paste in that Etherpad link so that new people can go there if they want to?
Where are we going?
To that Etherpad link that you gave me earlier.
Yep.
It's on the main page of the HBR thing. It's on every page of HBR if you go
just to make things easy and accessible. I'm sorry, I had to step away for a minute. Rick and Morty had broken the space-time continuum again, I had to lay down the law again.
They didn't do time stuff. It was just dimensions.
No, well, it depends on who you ask.
It's complicated.
It is. It's complex.
Just as long as they don't go into timey-wimey space stuff.
There's many levels of Neville's.
Okay, need a vote. Should I do the ironing or should I scan some books? Your call.
Scan.
Ken,
scan.
Question.
Yeah.
Question for Ken, who is not the leader here or the moderator. He just uses tone.
Volunteer, yes.
He's the head volunteer.
No, I think it was I stay there while everybody took a step back. But yes, what's the point?
Yeah. So do you go the distance, or are you doing the whole 26?
Good God, no, are you mental? It's also I'm going to drop off very shortly as soon as more Americans come on, and they can take it from there.
Americans.
Yep. Those who are not up at 5 o'clock in the morning, those who are normal time and going to carry through, and then in the morning I will go for a full 8 hours sleep, and then I will join back on again tomorrow morning and close out the show.
So who's going to moderate in your absence? Who's going to be our dear leader?
Oh, good God. Anyway, ironing or scanning, guys? What is it?
Scanning.
My vote's scanning.
Iron the books before scanning. That was Brian. Sorry, I don't want to take credit for that. I was just reading it out. Shadow, where are you? Are you in America or are you somewhere else?
I'm in California.
Oh my gosh.
Nice. Okay.
Excellent. What time is it there?
Early riser.
It is 5:51 right now.
Oh yeah.
Mental people, seriously.
Mental.
Oh, I'm not going to stay up for super long. I just popped in to say hi and see how everybody's doing.
Let's not call people mental. That's a microaggression.
I do apologize. Sorry about that.
Are you getting off of work, Shadow, or did you just literally wake up to say hi and then you're going to go back to bed?
I woke up, not necessarily just say hi, but I was in Michigan for a week, so my sleep schedule's all messed up.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, I'm Josh, if people don't associate my username with... who I am.
We did not. We were just telling people. Wait, which Josh?
Anonymous Toast.
Anonymous Host.
Oh, Josh, that's, hi.
We were just telling people about an hour ago to donate money to you.
Yes, we're doing a fundraising drive.
We were trying to offer up awards and stuff, but we couldn't really think of anything. But we're working on it, man.
I'll do your ironing.
Provided that you send him all of the stuff via mail and pay postage.
No spans or divs.
We're coming up with lots of small print, fine print that people are going to have to read before after giving money to you. But the upfront offerings are going to sound great.
Well, and the whole concept behind it was, I mean, they can sign up for a hosting plan and get something awesome that way. And support the show.
If someone were interested, how much would a hosting plan with an honest host?
So we restructured some of our plans a few years ago and our basic shared plan. And I'll get into why the prices went up here in a second. I actually have to look them up. I think the lowest one's $12.49 now.
Per month?
Yeah, per month. So when we first started, we were trying to be the cheapest guys on the block. Because, everybody's just looking for a cheap host. But what we found is most people, when they saw the prices, they're like, there's got to be something wrong with this. They can't be only $5 a month.
Especially in California, that's some high pricing.
Well, globally, I mean, we do stuff all over the world. But we typically got a kind of pushback of, well, I don't understand. How can you do this for $5 a month? And the big thing for us was we weren't doing unlimited. And if I ever get a wild hair and decide to do a show again, which I will, don't worry, Ken.
You get a free card from me. It has to be said all the time I bug you behind the scenes.
But unlimited doesn't exist. All you guys probably realize this. But your major hosting companies go off and advertise unlimited storage, unlimited memory, all these things that...
Which is crap.
You can't do. It's not possible. So that was kind of where the honest piece came in. Was like, okay, we're going to be upfront with you and be like, you pay us this amount of money, you're going to get this amount of resources. So there's no surprise, you've been suspended for high resource usage.
It's the best policy, some would say.
Yeah. That actually was our slogan for a little while. We've been around since 2014 now, so we're coming up on 4 years.
How's
it
working?
I like the business model. I like it.
Yeah. It's since we restructured and redid our plans and redid the site, we've seen probably in this last year a 300% growth.
Oh, cool. Good. I'm very glad.
So it's definitely going in the right direction. We're starting to see some larger clients take notice. Especially since we're not afraid to do things with AWS as well. So,
that's a big draw, I bet.
So say somebody wants to have a redundant copy of their site, we can actually set up virtual servers that will then replicate to AWS.
Oh, nice.
And we manage the whole thing so they don't have to deal with any of the support issues or trying to figure out how to manage the server. So it's a complete... We manage everything in-house for them, and if something should happen, they have that failover backup into AWS. Although we've been very lucky, and some of our security measures have helped us kind of fly under the radar for a lot of attacks. Unfortunately, you guys seem to run around with a big bullseye on your back sometimes.
The whole hacker name, thank you very much.
It's horrible, yeah.
Oh, God. That is... yeah. Also, even if you're going up to somebody, hey, I would really like to do a show and blah, blah, blah. What's your website? It's HPR Radio.
Right. And it's the security logs I get from your server are just holy smokes. Some of the craziness that I've seen, specifically, like they try to do SQL injections all the damn time.
Yeah. So I think I counted it as like... 30 every second or so, or every minute, there's about 30.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So you're under constant DDoS, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
You guys were, yeah. With the scripts I've written specifically for HPR, and with the new web application firewall that we've installed, it's definitely helped significantly minimize the workload that's had to be done by the server.
Thank you, sir.
It really was not funny there for a while, Josh. The last 3 months has been...
No, it was every bad morning for a bit.
I wake up and there was something else wrong, and then I contact you, and then you...
Yeah, it was legitimately depressing to hear your...
Yeah, it was just depressing, yeah.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, that's about the time that the Alien Brothers came on. Sorry about that, guys. They don't want to hear the truth. And if you got a target on your back, you're saying, you might be saying the truth. Sorry.
Oh, and Josh, the upload thing is there's a single quote in the file name.
Yeah, I saw you post that back, and I was like,
bizarre.
Dropbox sanitized it, and that's why I didn't have the error. Because when I downloaded it through Dropbox, it went right up, no problems. And I was like, maybe the permissions change I did worked. It doesn't make sense. It should have ran just fine before, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. I was beating my head against the wall going, why is it working? And I tried a file size bigger and another one smaller. And then, okay. But apparently this is a thing. And it's been, I see posts about it going back to 2001. So I, rather than just try and fix it, I told Kevin to upload again without the backslash.
I think to fix that, we might just want to go off and sanitize. I mean, that's typically the safest method.
I have no problem doing that. But the problem is that the way they say to do that is you pull in the array and you do move to whatever. And when I do that, that was called by the upload folder, but it's not even getting that far. So something's stopping it before it even gets that far.
Oh, you know what's probably killing it is the web application firewall.
Yeah, could be. Could be.
Because that would look like an injection.
Yes, very nice. Excellent. Well done, Kevin. But so I don't mind telling people shitty comments in their filings.
I do everything underscore. If I need any punctuation, there's an underscore.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think there's any shame in telling people that that's the policy.
That's a point that should be underscored.
Nice.
Very good.
Ba-dum.
I think I'll do that with the 403 error. Please, we've noticed this. If you're trying to do this, then please... rename your file and try again. Press the back button.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'll do that. Don't leave the firewall as it is. Yep.
Okay. Cool.
Case closed.
If anybody would like to donate to Josh at an honest host, I will dedicate studio time, recording, or song. Play a song. I'll be here.
I like that the shared hosting comes with FFmpeg installed. Like that's one of the points of the plan. FFmpeg installed. Like FFmpeg's great. I love it.
You know, we had some people that were just like, hey, you know, we moved from this host, they didn't have it installed, or they had it installed, they upgraded us, it wasn't installed anymore. I know why. There was a real simple script you could use on CentOS 6. It doesn't work on CentOS 7 natively. You have to go in and fix some stuff.
It's that systemd.
Yeah, it's that systemd. And a couple dependencies I don't think translated over real well, but we got working.
Have you moved up I can't think of it, of course, the secure systemd stuff, SE enforcement?
SE
Linux?
Yes.
So for our shared servers, we are limited by what cPanel supports. There was a point in time where I was like, oh, I'm going to write my own control panel, and it's going to be amazing, it's going to do all this stuff. But there's two things working against me. One is time.
Yep.
I work my butt off for various things. And so having extra time is not always an option. And then the other thing is cPanel is kind of the industry standard. So unless you have something that makes it very similar, users will complain because it's not CPU, even if it's better.
That is funny. That's really funny to me to hear people comfortable in cPanel, because I'm never comfortable in cPanel myself. But it's funny that people, that's the de facto now.
Yeah, it's way better than Plex, or Plesk, not Plex. Plex I use for streaming my movies. Plesk is... I run into some really hardcore fans of it, and I'm just like, why? It's so poorly written and doesn't manage stuff properly. But that's another tangent.
I don't mind cPanel. Like, I'm used to it now. What I cannot stand, a web host, oh, we're going to have cPanel, but we're going to put our own little design spin on it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Like GoDaddy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get used to standard cPanel, and then you're going, well, where is everything? Why? Yep. Why would you do this?
Well, that's the beauty of GUIs, right? I mean, someone moves a button on you, and you're stuck for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, it's... And what frustrates me about that is they don't update with the latest release. So there's actually a really nice new layout with cPanel that actually makes more sense than the old version. And it's a new modern look. But I know what you're talking about with GoDaddy. They're still using the previous generation's theme, and it looks old. It looks like garbage.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that DreamHost did their own version of it, and you'll find things in the weirdest spaces. Like, there's one label that just says goodies. Mm-hmm. Just there for, like, things that, you know, should be under, like, security.
Yeah, so GoDaddy, or not GoDaddy, DreamHost actually built their own control panel. They don't use CentOS or any Red Hat based, the last I checked. Most of their stuff is Debian based, and everything's clustered.
DreamHost is absolutely on my shit list.
Because... they've been really flying downhill.
Yeah, they've really kind of fallen out of favor. I remember at one point they were like really kind of, I don't know, they seemed pretty solid. I mean, I never used them, but I mean, from reports that I got from other people, they seemed satisfied. And lately I just hear all kinds of just complaints about it.
Yeah, they've run into a lot of issues stemming from, well, part of it is their support team's gotten cocky. It's no longer customer first focus. It's you're stupid, you don't know what you're doing, and we're not going to help you. The other thing that they've run into on and off is they get their entire mail server blacklisted, their outgoing mail server.
Ooh.
And because of how they set it up, one cluster getting blacklisted
means everybody gets blacklisted.
Means like 20 some odd servers get blacklisted. Yeah.
That's bad.
It's gotten so bad to the point where they now recommend their customers set up like Google apps for
yeah,
their email.
Yeah, that's so funny when places just are just like, you know what, just use Gmail. Just do that. It's like, no, that's not the answer. Like, I know that you think that's the answer, but that is not the right answer.
It's like, no, that's why I bought a domain so I could have an email address for business stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That ends at that domain. But I had a Koken install with DreamHost, which is KOKEN. It's a CMS pretty much just for photographers. And it works fantastically. And every time they would update something, it would just completely break my install. Like, to the point where I'd have to delete everything, re-upload everything, and then I'd go, hey, why is this broken now? They'd go, oh, I don't know. Hang on, let us look. Oh, well, you're getting a lot of PHP errors. And that's pretty much all they would tell me. And I'm like, they're like, oh, well, maybe you set it up wrong. I'm like, the install has been there for months. It was working just fine. They're going, well, did you, set the ownership right? I'm like, yes. Like, the install script had to be 755, I think it was. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm sure. I'm sure there's, you can go and look at some logs to see what I've done.
I think that's probably a good argument, well, for not using DreamHost, but also for, like, containerization, I guess. I mean, that's probably a classic case of why you would put that into a container.
Docker.
Yep.
See, I'm one of those people that's not huge on Docker, mostly because I'm a
yes!
school VM guy.
I mean, yeah, I'm not really into it either, but it's there, and I think that use case would be, I mean, I guess, as I said, the right answer probably is just not to use DreamHost because they're obviously screwing around in your space, you know, but to protect that from someone changing stuff from underneath you. Yeah, either, I guess, like Josh says, a VM or a container.
Yeah, it's... The problem with what DreamHost does specifically on that sense is they're making changes and not notifying people. And I would almost wonder if they're not making changes like their PHP version and messing stuff up, or they're not installing the same modules when they're upgrading. And I've seen them do some really, like, what the hell are you doing, guys? Because it reflects bad on me. I trained for a while there. I was working for another hosting company. I'm not going to mention them just because out of respect. But
it's a bad practice.
Yeah. DreamHost. Oh, wait. Off.
Sorry, Josh. I'm going to interrupt you just to say Happy New Year, Brisbane, Port Moresby, and Guam, and some others. Go ahead.
Yep. Well, Happy New Year to them. But DreamHost actually was poaching my staff. And so they legitimately, anytime I got somebody that was trained up and was taking phone calls, maybe 3 weeks later, I'd get a notice saying that these were the last 2 weeks. And I find out that they're over at DreamHost because
wow.
DreamHost was willing to pay them more money.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's why you got to do the old, Apple, Microsoft, sign some stupid agreement that you
yeah, like that. Isn't that illegal? That's illegal in some states.
You can't
states.
Do it in California. Compete. You can't. I mean, businesses try to respect it, but you can't enforce it in California.
Well, Klaatu and I find all business disrespectful, but that's a whole other thing.
Except an honest host.
Except an honest host, because they're honest.
Yeah.
We try. Definitely try.
So what you guys are saying is they're so honest we don't have to seize the means of production.
Correct.
Right. Right. We won't have to nationalize their resources.
The host I went with, I'm sorry, Josh. I'm very sorry for saying this, but I went with InMotion because they were like, hey, we fully support Koken.
So I'm do like, we actually.
Well, then yeah. I've just found a new web host. There you go.
I was
all
just
right,
looking.
All right. We got our first contribution.
First sale.
Yeah.
The spun driver is working.
Yeah.
No, I'm familiar with InMotion. I'm not a big fan because they don't keep their stuff necessarily up to date. That's one of the security practices that we do is we maintain all the servers. We actually notify customers in advance, like, hey, we're going to be dropping support for this version of PHP. Come, blah. I think we're actually dropping support for
today. Yeah, that's Koken. Cool way to do it. I somehow skated by for years and not actually paid for hosting. I just keep getting free plans, so I don't know. It's kind of difficult to compete with $0 hosting, yeah. Unfortunately.
No, I totally get it. $0 hosting is nice.
Yeah, but there becomes a point where you need. If you're running a business, there's no way I would recommend, like...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, I wouldn't. Sort of yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. yeah, I wouldn't. I've learned, I have learned, yeah, that lesson the hard way. Not necessarily for hosting, but just for infrastructure, you know? Like, I used to just love that I could revive old computers and stuff like that. And it's just a nightmare to put something that actually matters on anything but... you know, the most reliable thing that you can put it on. It's just, I've definitely learned some lessons.
An honest host is a reliable host.
That's right.
We definitely try.
Well, I mean, I'd say that you've more, yeah, well, it's more than just trying, though. I mean, you have a huge proof of concept in Hacker Public Radio because the stuff you do for HPR is absolutely amazing. It's just, it blows my mind, the fact that the way that you deal with issues when they arise, and just the fact that the site is still online. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, it's definitely not a single man job because Ken and Dave both have helped immensely with that. So it's definitely just, it's not just me. But I do appreciate the praise and everything like that. I don't like when stuff has to go offline for whatever.
Information in the last year, we have had 245 different conversations, Josh.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
And that's gone down from 133 last year to 122 in 2015. 2014 was 76. So we're really getting, this year, if I'm looking at the graph, it it's gone for tiny. It's just like a vertical line up at about 30 degrees, and then 2017 just springs up because of all of the issues we've had.
Yeah, well, we're going to work on them. I think we've worked through quite a bit of them.
We're approaching the
thinking of
big extinction. So
yeah, go on.
Things are heating up. You know, you got to get ready. The sixth extinction is upon us.
You trying to get more of those conspiracy theorists to attack the site?
No. I'm sorry. To be honest, I'll just put it in the show notes.
But it's been an interesting year. Definitely has. We still have a lot of work to do, and we're going to. We mentioned it on the community news show last night, which you won't hear until tomorrow. Which reminds me, I need to post that now. But also going to a flat file. Just basic HTML website will probably help as well. There's no database, no risk of SQL injection. If we do have any PHP pages, then they should be on a separate php.hackerpublicradio.org or somewhere that we can restrict it down, stuff like that.
I imagine that'll help immensely because, I mean, people, if something sees that there is an opportunity or if something sees that they think that there's an opportunity for SQL injection, then it's going to bombard the server with attempts. No matter how stupid it is to attempt, it's still going to happen.
Yeah, Frontalot, I don't know if many of you guys are familiar with him. He's a prime example of you leave it up there long enough, the it's going to get hacked. Yeah, MC yeah. Frontalot. Yeah, he, a couple of years ago now, he got owned because he's rocking an old version of PHP BB2. There we go. And I mean, the time date on the code was from before I graduated high school.
Wow. Ouch.
Oh.
Yeah. And because of how he built his site off of it, he couldn't update the core. So he literally was just hanging out there with his ass in the wind. And God love him. You know, I know him personally. He's a great guy. But it's just like, you need to do something quick because I can't patch all these holes. I only have so many fingers and there's a lot more cracks in it. There are fingers.
And that gives a bigger attack surface for your business as a whole, correct?
Well, I keep, so HPR, Frontalot, Binrev, all you guys are on is separate VM. So you guys don't necessarily impact directly to my clients. And I did that intentionally just because if there was an issue, I didn't want one causing a problem for the other.
Yeah, totally.
But
and there you go, guys.
Yeah.
Good design from a good host.
Yep.
Keeping an honest separate. Groups separate is a good idea. But he got owned in just a horrible way. A guy essentially did a database dump and got all the users and passwords.
Ouch. That's really bad.
Well, and then to make it worse, this was coded back in 2003 when nobody was thinking about hashing passwords. So all the passwords, all the passwords are plain text.
Salted or unsalted.
Completely plain text. And this guy posted all the users, all the passwords up on Pastebin. Thankfully, he did not.
Seriously, uncool dudes. Mm-hmm. Uncool.
Well, and he messaged Front right before he did that. He's like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm such an elite hacker. And it's like, dude, you compromised a 13-year-old, 14-year-old PHP platform. You're not an elite hacker.
I think there's like this weird sort of, I guess it's like graffiti in the bad way, you know, it's just like, it's there and you're the one who just got it there at the right time. And so that looks like an accomplishment to you. And somehow you're missing like the fact that there's so much else out there that you could do to prove your worth, you know, but you do this one thing and you're like, look at me, I'm so cool.
Yeah, and what you do is you email the admin, and as has happened to us down through the years, we have had emails from people going, this page is vulnerable to this, and then you thank that person, and they know that you know that they know, you know, that to me is like the mark of a respectable way to I found your site. This is not an invite, by the way, for anybody to attack the website.
Hats.
The code.
White hats.
Yes. If there are people out there who do want to do that sort of thing, we can arrange for you to have a copy of the website that you can do it. Please don't waste resources by doing it online.
Sandbox. But
we've had people who've noticed stuff. We've had people who've noticed stuff and emailed us, and we fixed it. So that's the way to do it. Responsible disclosure.
Full disclosure. That was just a plug for the mailing list.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, but from that, Front went off and redid his site. His site's flat HTML. And I don't know how many people actually know this, but Front's background is actually in web design. That was his day job before he became granddad of nerdcore hip hop.
That's quite nice. I do often wonder, like a lot of the nerdcore people, like how many of them actually know as much as they claim to know, sort of.
What's nerdcore? And then secondly,
we have a nerdcore virgin. Oh my gosh.
And dare I ask, what are we, nerdcore hip hop? Dare I ask?
I mean, it's not for everyone, but yeah, it's like, I guess it's rap about the IT industry, essentially.
Well, anything nerdy. So it's not just IT.
Yeah, that's true. Because there's game, like MC, Chris or whatever does MC like Chris game does stuff. Games. Yeah, Star Wars. And
Front does tabletop games. You've got Mega Rand, who does nostalgic older video games.
All right. Sorry. I was familiar with the genre. I just had not heard it labeled as such. My apologies.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah, that's cool. Don't worry.
I'm not really a fan myself, but it's just because I don't really like that style of music. It's not really about the people. I mean, Dualcore is there. I've met them several times, and they're super cool. I just don't listen to that music.
I was just looking it up. I was familiar with a lot of these. Like Two Skinny J's, way back in the days. I'm familiar with some of these.
Okay.
It's okay. You get your points back. You get your geek points back.
It's a New Year's Eve miracle.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.